Blog Talk Radio.
Come here, Chris. Come here. Come here. Stay.
Stay. Hey, mate! We put this thing together!
You are now tuned in to GQ College Radio. Love and length and length and length with your host, Rich Munch. GQ Palace. GQ Palace.
That's a brand name. Like Pepsi, that's a brand name. I stand behind it. I guarantee it. They know that, even if they don't know me anymore than they know the chairman of General Mills.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio.
Hey, this is DJ Kevsky, and you're listening to GQ Palace, hosted by my man, Rich Money.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace.
This is Elias, and you're listening to Rich Money on GQ Palace Radio. Follow me. Follow me. Yeah. Follow me.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio.
Hi, this is Deja Vu, and you're listening to GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment with Rich Money.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio.
What's up, y'all? This is MC Iniquity from Brooklyn, New York. Ain't no party like an old school party, cause an old school party. You're listening to the sounds of Rich Money. GQ Palace. Let's go.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace.
Yo, what's good? This is Casanova Rudd from the group Super Lover C and Casanova Rudd. You know the golden era of hip hop, baby. You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio with my man Rich Money. Yeah, yeah.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio.
Yeah, 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 what's good, y'all? It's your boy, Mikey D, a.k.a. Playboy Mikey D, a.k.a. Mikey D Structure, formerly of Main Source in the L.A. Posse, currently with Elements of Hip-Hop. Y'all already know what it is. Right now, you're tuned in to GQ Palace. Keep it locked.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio.
Yeah, this is Grand Agent, grandagent.net. Real Grand Agent, Twitter and IG. I'm in the GQ Palace, so as far as I can tell, it's all good. Rich Money, let's do it, do it, do it, do it, do it.
I like to welcome all my to the world famous Murder Inc. show. They call me the Mighty Rule. How you living?
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace. GQ Palace Radio.
The real question. What do you do?
Yo, what up, what up? Peace, world. This your boy, Mellow Man Ace. Right now, you got it locked on GQ Palace Radio.
GQ Palace Radio.
We gon' clap back. When they hollering about rules, here's the real. I pop the top like champagne bottles to chill or nothing but ice. Now, I'll send it up to the greatest and tell them I'm nice, too. Plus, push some nice goals that ain't roll like dudes, man. I'm OG Bobby J, and we slinging soccer fields, yeah. You respect that, or get your mind around and get it pushed back. Y'all don't want that. I send them to the mall, I keep it my bouncing for sure. In the club with no gun, got them taking it off. Can't help that. I'm in that puts it down once I hit that. Set them up in the mind, axing them home in the throwback. West, 44 Lakers, let's make no mistakes. These F's take place.
Friday night, it's been my time listening to Rich Money, Love and Entertainment, and GQ Palace Radio.
GQ Palace Radio.
Stuff somewhere between Gomorrah and Sodom. I'm here to make this rap hotter than Harlem.
you with a gun in your face. When you got one in your waist, just cop back. Hey, I'll come back.
Clap back, back, go clap back, back, go clap back, back, go clap back, back, go clap back. We go clap back. We go clap back. We go clap back. We go clap back. Back, go clap back, back, go clap back, back, go clap back, back. We go clap back. We go clap back. We go clap back. We go clap back.
Taking the wall like Bush is dumb. I'ma find out what M lies is hotter than bomb. First, it could be much worse. I could be hotter than your shrubs. Mask and gloves gun hot to burn it.
GQ Palace, radio,
radio, struck the chord with the Christians, but y'all got the freaking that are on a religion. And God gave me this blessing to handle my business on these white snitches, let the need of a kiss. And if she somehow misses, he gon' meet the mistress and clap that boy like Birdman and Cliff. I got moves all over my dick like I'm the star of these shows. I must be as hot as they come. What's the procedure with the gun in your face?
GQ Palace, radio,
radio, radio, radio, radio.
Come on, clap back. We gon' clap back. We gon' clap back. We gon' clap back. We gon' clap back.
Hey, hey, it's Kim. On Friday nights, I spend my time listening to Rich Money, Love and Entertainment on GQ Palace Radio. It's Butterbait, Butterbait, Butterbait.
We gon' clap back. We gon' clap back, back. We gon' clap back. We gon' clap back, back.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio.
Buck 89, what's up, baby? Break it down. Break it down. Break it down. In the muck.
GQ Palace,
Radio,
Radio, GQ
Palace,
Radio,
Radio. On my Boston, on my Brooklyn, Brooklyn son, what up?
What's going on, welcome back to another episode of Love and Entertainment with your host, myself, Rich Money. Before we get started, I want to take this time now to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last week, we had a spectacular show for y'all. If you want to hear the show from last week, you can go into the archive at www.blogtalkradio.com and punch in GQ Palace. That's G-E-E-Q-U-E Palace. Check out the archives. Tonight, we have another banger for y'all. I also want to give a shout out to my man Gemini from In That Lodge, who was on last week. If you want to hear some of his new joints, feel free to go and check out those archives, because he's definitely doing it big. Also to Money Platinum Records, the artist that was on, CEO, Young West, Mr. Chenier, and Diamond Slim. From Universal Money Platinum Records, they doing big things. It was also in the archives from last week. So make sure you hear their music. You know, they put their links and all that up there. Let them know how y'all feel about their music. Check it out. Tonight, like I was saying, we have another banger for y'all. We got Larry Henderson in the building, up and coming artist. He's doing big things. He's definitely taking the music industry to a whole nother level. And he's talking, and his rap is totally different, because it's all about history. And that's one thing a lot of rappers is not doing, talking about history. So Larry Lake Henderson is going to be on, and we're going to hear his smashing single, King and Queens. Then after him, we have up-and-coming comedian in the building, my man Ray Ray from Around the Way. And he's going to let us know what's been going on with him in the comedy field. And then we have no other than a sensational Miss Heather Walker in the building. And we're going to be playing some of her smashing hits. And we're going to talk about that reality show she was on as well. And she's going to let us know what's going on with that. But for now, we're going to get into some tunes real fast for like 15, 20 minutes to my man Larry Henderson call in. And we're going to take it like that. I also want to tell y'all, be safe out this weekend. It's hot, you know. Make sure you drink lots of water. Don't get hydrated and everything. And a shout out to my Aunt Janet. It was her birthday, and she also got married on the same day. You know, I want to wish her and my uncle the best. You know what I mean? And a happy birthday to my cousin Renee, who also is doing big things. You know, shout out to her as well. But what we're going to do right now, we're going to get into this music, and we're going to take it to a whole nother level with my man Larry. Come on. All right? This is Rich Money, GQ Palace Radio, love and entertainment. Let's make this music happen. It's Butter, baby.
You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio, love and entertainment with Rich Money,
move to the left, y'all. Move to the right, y'all. Move to the right, y'all.
Move, move, move.
Now go left, y'all. Left, y'all. Left, y'all. Now go right, y'all. Right, y'all. Right, y'all. Now go left, y'all. Left, y'all. Left, y'all. Now go right, y'all. Right, y'all. Right, y'all.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Hey, hey, it's Kim. On Friday nights, I spend my time listening to Rich Money, Love and Entertainment on GQ Powers Radio. It's Butter Baby. GQ Powers Radio. GQ Powers Radio.
Joining us. I know you were a busy man. You got a lot of things. I was listening to your music.
And you, Dev, you know what you're doing? You definitely sending out a message, and you sending out, pardon my French, because I don't usually say this, a damn good effing message. And it's good for these kids, because you speak in history as well.
Yeah. Yeah, now, definitely, man.
What kind of rapper would you consider yourself? Because I'm like, wow, especially the Harriet Tubman. Oh, man. I said, yo.
I mean, I'm just a rapper, man. You know what I'm saying? And the kind of music that I do for Smart Music Entertainment is really like hardcore educational hip-hop music. But, I started out rhyming, you know what I mean, third, fourth grade, you know what I'm saying? So as far as how long I've been actually doing this, it's been a minute. You know what I mean? It's just that now I've decided to make music to help promote, you know what I mean, the importance of education.
Okay, but what actually made you start writing about history? Because, I heard KRS-One, he speaks some stuff, but you really, like, speaking some things here. You know what I mean?
Who
you forte as, like KRS-One, anything like that?
Well, first of all, you know what I'm saying, I'll say that, you know, Blastmaster KRS-One, along with Run DMC and Rakim and Coogee Rap and Big Daddy Kane, you know, those are the artists that I grew up listening to. But I wouldn't really consider what I'm doing, you know, I haven't heard anything like this before, you know what I mean? So I consider me to be in a lane of my own. But how it all kind of came about was I always read a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I was younger, I had to read as a form of punishment from getting kicked out of school all the time. So I ended up reading a lot of books, you know, the autobiography of Malcolm X, The Man Who Tells of Frederick Douglass. You know, I was reading these books, and it planted a seed. So I have hip-hop on the one side, but then I also got these books that I'm reading, and then also the environment that I came up in. You know, it was debates all the time between the Christians and the Muslims and the people that was for the system and the people that didn't want to vote. You know, that was every day on the block, and it made you kind of want to know more about the subjects that people was arguing about. So as far as the reading and the educational material, I've always been a reader. And then as far as the hip-hop, you know, I've always kind of been into hip-hop. And then the two worlds merged, and, you know, I just wanted to do more with it.
Okay. Now, your name. How did you come up with your name?
Lyrics and Knowledge. You know what I mean? That's what L.E.K. stands for, man. Lyrics and Knowledge. It's pretty much, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, everything that I'm about, man. You know what I mean? When you break down my whole style.
Yeah, because you definitely doing it. I'm actually trying to decide on which one to play first, to be true with you. You know what I mean? I ain't even lying. That's real talk. I'm trying to decide on which one to play first. Harriet Tubman and Kings and Queens is ridiculous. You know what? Let's go with Because We Are. That's with the Beatbox. How did you come up? Is that the one with the Beatbox? That's the one with the Beatbox, right?
Yeah, I'm beatboxing on that. That's me. That's actually me beatboxing. My daughter's singing, and my man Jay Sun is on there singing as well. And that's, I Am Because We Are. It's the outro to Lesson 2, but, you know, I really wanted to bring up a lot of the social issues and things that I feel our kids are facing. So that's why I'm talking about Ritalin and, you know, just things that I know, you know what I mean, they're dealing with. And I just wanted to, you know what I mean, hit you with some of that information and make people more aware of it.
All right, you know what? I want you to introduce that track right there.
Cool. This is Locke. We're about to hear I Am Because We Are off the new Lesson 2 album. Let's get it.
Yeah. What's good, y'all? It's your boy, Mikey D, a.k.a. Playboy Mikey D, a.k.a. Mikey D Structure, formerly of Main Source in the L.A. Posse, currently with Elements of Hip Hop. Y'all already know what it is. Right now, you're tuned into GQ Palace. Keep it locked.
Smart music is the movement. A bad education, the reason some of us lose it. A lot of young boys being misdiagnosed, but the school's being off. I'm telling you it's a hoax. Hyped up and energetic. That don't mean slow, keep it all G. That's common amongst the kinfolks. And dead Ritalin's equivalent to speed. When love and education's the medicine now we need. I received with the left, resembling Hotep. Black on both sides, still living it. Most steps, taking trades out of the hood, so we built less. And looking outside, the extent of a field test. Whatever happened to the village concept? It's impossible to live without seeing beyond self. Overstand, understand that it's easier to build a strong child than repair a broke man.
All I wanna do is shine the world about the whole part of man, but the pieces are on the knees. Fighting for the babies and the parents, trying to raise them as a warrior, thoughts that cost me. I am because we are.
It ain't a game, it's the life. From the 48 laws to the parables of Christ. All the war and the 42 negative confessions. The mind's the most dangerous of blessings. Of knowledge is evolved. You holding the light like beginning of Columbia flicks your torch bright. A vote is a voice and them policies running your life. The 15th amendment to make them put up a fight. The knowledge itself, I'm still seeking it. A lot of my dudes going ham, just ain't eating it. Soul is the angelic part of a man, so the flesh is the pet of an invisible hand. Son, I breathe like a fab joint, and I always say one plus your last point. Yeah, we do it for the kids, we do it for those who can't vote, cause the law's after the beds, writing letters to they whiz.
All I wanna do is shine the world about the whole part of man, but the beast is on the knees. I'm fighting for the babies and the parents, trying to raise them as a warrior, thoughts that cost me. I am because we are.
Your thoughts are costing we. Ignoring the history, standing at the podium, looking over your sheeple. You keep it entertaining and they continue to feed you. Hood is the battleground, minds are the spoils of war. Ignorant bliss, a weapon that they use on the poor. School's diet plan, lacking all the vitamins. Before you tell them try again, recognize what time we in. Kids losing lives, they wanna arm the teachers. I guess they bang out in the hallway with a demon. Real men don't buy girls or put them on the front line so they can get shot in front of the world. The flow is unprecedented. In it. Please understand, math got a message in it. It's smart music, entertained with the lessons in it. We don't just talk about the future, we invest in it. Keep up with the regiment.
All I wanna do is shine the world about the whole part of man, but the beast is on the knees. Fighting for the babies and the parents, trying to raise them as a warrior, thoughts that cost me. I am because we are.
I was kicking around an idea of just, you know, incorporating all of the things that I was reading into my music, you know what I mean? And at first, I just wanted to do it to see if I liked the sound, you know what I mean? Because I've always been a, I wouldn't say a conscious rapper, but, you know, a little bit more positive. But, you know, I just wanted to go all the way in. So I recorded the song called The First 25 Presidents. I liked how it sounded. And from then, I kept doing the music. Because it was real important to me to get the sound first, and then I built the company around the album. You know what I mean? So that, you know, the integrity of the sound, I never compromised it. Like, I never went into the situation saying, yo, I'm going to make educational music for kids. You know what I mean? It really started out like, let me merge this. I like how it sounds. Let me do an album And I know in order to push this album out, I'm going to have to formulate my own company because no one else is going to touch this. And, you know, that's kind of how it came about.
Wow. Wow. Now, I see you've been featured as guest hosts on other radios and TV, you know, like London, UK, Bang, 103.6 FM, CBS, KMOG, 89.9 FM, Minneapolis, WVON, 1690, you know, Chicago, W. I could go on and on and on, you know. Now, yeah. What is that experience like to be featured so much? Because you like you definitely an entrepreneur. You understand? So what is that
right.
experience like? I see you was also on BET. So tell us a little something about that.
Well, for me, you know, it's a beautiful experience, man. Because you know I've been rhyming for a while, and you know what I'm saying, once you pass 30 and you still, you know, I'm that dude that went through everything, you know what I'm saying? I interned at all types of record labels. I done carried crates. I done opened for this person and that person, and this person's cousin hooked me up with this person. You know, I done did all that. So, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To get to a point where it's like, listen, I'm going to do this music just because I want to just give something back to the community. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then have that be the thing that takes me all around the world. You know what I'm saying? Just on my own. No, you know, no majors, no nothing. Just, you know, it's just the staff at Smart Music Entertainment and the strength of the music, you know, bring me into everywhere from, you know, Poland to London to, you know, Saudi Arabia, you know, to all types of weird places that I never imagined my music would go. It's a great feeling, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we still got a lot more work to do, but just to have, you know, this album really spread around the world like that is kind of crazy. I mean, I'm still in the middle of it. You know what I mean? We're still on the ground. We still got a lot of hard work to do, but definitely
mm-hmm.
it's a great feeling to know that the music is felt.
Now, me personally, I don't normally tell. I consider you an MC because of the message you send. You understand? So, what mm-hmm. advice could you give someone from the younger generation trying to get up to where you at?
Well, I mean, I would just tell them how to have a business plan together. You know what I mean? Because Smart Music Entertainment, before Smart Music Entertainment came out, you know, it was 3 years in the making, just getting the album, building the team, getting the game plan down, getting the market. You have to know all of that before you come with a company. Because it's one thing to be an artist and, you know what I'm saying, just be nice with your beat making or your rhymes or whatever you do. But it's another thing to form a business, you know what I'm saying, and to have that business support your art so that you can continue to put the art out. So you got to, you know what I mean, you have to really get that business plan down and think of all the intangibles and then just go for yours.
Okay, I see you. Now, I also realize you got original songwriting to support awareness campaigns for positive community organizations. Tell us a little bit
yeah.
about that.
Well, you know, it started out with just doing, you know, people would say, can you do a song for me for this? You know what I'm saying? Could you do a song for, you know, cancer awareness? Or, you know, could you do a song for whatever theme? So in the last joint I did was for my man Michael Taylor, and I did a song called Black Man Rock. He's a motivational speaker. So he asked me to write a song that could be a theme to his book and to his new tour that he's doing. You know what I mean? So if a person has a like mind, you know what I'm saying, and we're on a positive vibe and they want to get their message out, we can collab. You know what I'm saying? I'll create something
mm-hmm.
for you and we can take it from there.
Now, what makes Larry Lock Anderson different from everybody else?
There's no one else that's putting out a volume of this kind of work. And what I mean by that is, so you have artists that do educational songs, you know what I mean, and there's a lot of them, you know what I'm saying, Nas, KRS-One, Immortal Technique, you know, Big Daddy Kane, even going back then, Tupac, you know, there's a bunch of artists that put messages or give you lessons in their music, and then you have companies that put out educational songs. Whether you're talking about, you know, Sesame Street or, you know what I'm saying, Barney or, you know what I'm saying, more serious companies like Vocabulary. And, you know, there's different companies that do that. But I'm the, you know what I'm saying, as far as I know, I'm the only dude that's able to incorporate that authentic hardcore hip-hop sound and grab educational content and merge the two worlds like this and put all, you know, and put volumes of music together. You know what I'm saying? I don't know of any other educational album that's quite, that sounds quite like the music we putting out. You know what I mean? If it is, you let me know. But, you know, I haven't heard it.
Yeah, me either. I ain't even gonna lie to you. Me either. You know, ain't no question about it. Because you have it, plus you got an original style. It's versatile with what you're doing. Let's talk about Kings and Queens. Tell us a little bit about that single.
Well, yeah, it's the first line of that song is, we don't come from slaves, but from enslaved Africans. And when I went to Rutgers, I had a professor, Ivan Van Sertima. He used to always stress that point to us. Like, we're not the descendants of slaves. We are the descendants of an enslaved group of people, and the history of that people is this. You know what I mean? So I was just trying to bring that information to the forefront, since I know, you know, you can hear people say, oh, you know, we're just the descendants of slaves. It's like, no, there was an enslaved group of people, and that, you know what I mean, that means a lot. So I just wanted to get into some of the things that's in that lineage to try to bridge the gap. And I built the whole song around that concept.
All right. Well, we're going to get into that. All right, Dons and Divas, the lines is flooded. If you want to speak to Mr. Larry Locke Henderson, press 1 to go on the air, or you continue to listen to the show. If you want your PC, the number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air. Like I said, you can continue to listen to the show. Here's some more fire by Mr. Larry Locke Henderson, Kings and Queens. Remember where you heard it. GQ Palace Radio, love and entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Friday night, I spend my time listening to Rich Money, love and entertainment on GQ Palace Radio. It's butter, baby.
Hey, hey, it's Kim. On Friday nights, I spend my time listening to Rich Money, Love and Entertainment on GQ Powers Radio. It's Butter Baby.
Yo, what's good? This is Casanova Rudd from the group Super Lover C and Casanova Rudd. You know, the golden era of hip-hop, baby. You are now tuned in to GQ Powers Radio with my man Rich Money. Yeah.
But from enslaved Africans, people use words to confuse and how it's trapped again. Our lineage is deep within the challenger. Our family tree consists of people that had influenced the planet, bruh. We managed to lose sense of self, we don't identify with the heritage like African American is not African. But listen to me, I'ma have you black again, pumping up your fist and using pics to fix your naps again. I like to give respect to Imhotep, considered by the world to be the first architect, the high priest of the sun god Ra at Heliopolis. He built the 7 pyramids in Egypt and they still exist. Poet and philosopher, a recognized genius. He diagnosed 200 different diseases. They say Hippocrates is the father of medicine, but Imhotep lived 2,000 years ahead of him. King Soundwall's Rat, second ruler of Kemet. He was said to have conquered Greece by Herodotus, the first ruler to believe in one god. Was Amenhotep the fourth, later known as Akhenaten King.
We are the lions, we are the fighters.
Civilization, the gateway from spiritual to physical creation. A child's first teacher with infinite appeal, the backbone of our existence. Majestical and real like Queen Candace in 322 BC. Empress of Ethiopia, who militantly reigned supreme. She was recognized as a great general. And if you tested her, it might have meant the end of you. Like Alexander the Great, he told his army to wait. He peeped the style and didn't want to invade. He told his man he ain't wanna risk losing to a woman up against Queen Candace. He figured he just shouldn't. Another one's Makeda, she was the Queen of Sheba.
one of the first to fight for the plight and respect of a woman's equal right. Queen.
Yeah, this is Grand Agent, GrandAgent.net, Real Grand Agent, Twitter and IG. I'm in the GQ Palace, so all that is all good. Rich Money, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it.
You definitely got something on your hands, man. Ain't no question about it now. How did you come up with that chorus, first of all? How did you come up with that chorus?
I let the beat talk to me. You know what I mean? you know, shout out to my man Otis Blunt on the hook. You know what I mean? We that's really how I, you know, it's weird how I do the hooks, man. I have this session, you know what I mean, I'll write the lyrics, and then I'll go into the studio and just feel whatever's speaking to me, and that's kind of how I put the hook together. So we was in the studio vibing, and I just was, you know, I just put it together and told him to go in there and sing it. He tore it down, and, you know, he added all the extra ad-libs, which really brought it out. But, you know, it was really just feeling the beat.
Now, I know you also hold degrees in African studies, communications. You know, tell us a little about that. You know, you study engineering. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, Rutgers, I majored in Africana studies. I got into the School of Communications and got a degree with communications, specializing in interpersonal relationships, and I got a labor studies degree. And it was pretty, you know, pretty much like I wanted to do music while I was in college, so I thought that I was going to use my communication degree to help me do that. And then Africana studies, I just took so many black classes, I just had enough to major in it. You know what I'm saying? And the labor studies was, you know, something that I felt like I was going to fall back on. So I went to college, you know, thinking about my future. And then after I got out, I went to the Institute of Audio Research in New York. And I was going to, you know, take my communication degree, go to the Institute of Audio Research, figure out I'd be able to maneuver a label, you know what I'm saying, an internship, and, you know what I mean, I'd be on and popping. But my daughter came around. So, you know what I'm saying, you know, when you have kids, it throws your whole plan up. But, you know, I still had a ball with those endeavors.
I feel you. Now, lesson one, hip hop and education.
Yes, sir.
It had hit on Amazon, bestseller list number one, hot new release, and number eight in educational music. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, we was out there promoting, and people, like I said, people were just buying the album in all sorts of weird places, man. Poland and South Africa and, you know, all across the country, you know, California and Minnesota and, you know, Arizona. So the people like the music, and they're showing their appreciation by going online and purchasing the album and giving it to their kids and or listening to it themselves. So that's been crazy, you know what I mean? But we still got to get the platinum plaques, you know what I mean? We're still shooting for those kind of numbers, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, we eating and whatnot, but, you know, we definitely want to, you know, hit that mark.
Mm. All right. I definitely feel you on that, but what makes this music now different from any music you did in the past?
Well, because in the past, you know, it was more about just expressing myself. It was more about just writing about the things that I was into and going through and feeling. You know, this, I'm now making tools that can be utilized to promote the importance of education. So it's a totally different train of thought. You know what I mean? Whereas before, I could hear a beat and just write a rhyme. You know what I'm saying? Now, you got to think about what you're going to say, and then you got to do all of the research, and then you got to make sure you have enough information to fit in that 3 to 5 minute time span, and then sometimes you got to shave it off. You got to know, you know what I mean, what you're going to put in each verse. And it's just a different process because of the information that you have to gather to put it on the track. And that's just different from just walking into the booth and speaking your mind.
Now, I know you write about a lot of history, so you got to do a lot of research, because what you're speaking about is real deep. So how long does it actually take you to write a song? Because what you're speaking about is some real deep social studies type. You know, people can pass a test in social studies hearing what you're saying. You understand what I mean? So
no,
how long does it actually take? I'm dead serious. How long does it actually take for you to write a song?
Well, it depends, you know what I mean? So, for example, the first 25 presidents, that song took like 2 months, you know what I mean, just from doing all of the research. But, you know, Black Woman in Congress or the Moors, these are all things that I'm kind of familiar with. So it was really like just, you know, my whole album is in my personal library. You know, I have all of the books, and I actually have all of the information that goes into my albums. I'm not just going online and researching this and researching that. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting the books, getting the literature, also going online. But first 25 presidents took me 2 months. Congresswoman took me like 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Or I could write It's a War in like an hour. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, I Am Because We Are. You know what I'm saying? Those, you know, that didn't take long to make because I was expressing myself. But the song Harriet Tubman took like 2 weeks. You know what I mean? I had already knew about the struggle and what I wanted to say, but then you really got to fine-tune your information. And what really takes the most amount of time is the research. That's what takes the time. Once I got all of the information in front of me, you know, I could hear the beat and just, you know what I mean, take a night and formulate how I want to say things, you know what I mean, and really get it to come together. But what takes the most amount of time is doing the research.
Wow. You know what? I want to get into this next joint. Harriet Tubman, The Conductor.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, I think people just assume that she grabbed slaves and, you know, ran off in the middle of the night. And it was just, it's a lot deeper than that. You know what I'm saying? The Underground Railroad was a form of resistance. And she had to, you know, learn about the routes that she had to take. You know, it's, that woman doesn't get enough credit, in my opinion, for what she has contributed for the African-American community. And I just kind of wanted to, you know, big her up. You know what I'm saying, and give them my just due, especially when I heard all of the stuff about the how they had like the X-rated movies and coming out. You know what I'm saying, with all that types of stuff. I didn't want to, you know, no disrespect to Russell Simmons and Def Jam and all of that, you know, whatever they had going on over there, but that's not how you present Harriet Tubman at all.
Exactly.
And you know, that's, you know, I just, you know, nah, I wasn't letting that ride like that. So, you know, I just wanted to come out with something that tells a little bit about her story, and I wanted to speak from her perspective.
I feel you. You're definitely a deep brother. We're going to get into that right now. All right, Dons and Divas, here's some more fire by Larry Locke Henderson. This is Harriet Tubman, The Conductor. Make sure you listen to what he's singing, because he's speaking some deep stuff right here on GQ Powers Radio, Love and Entertainment. Let's make it happen. It's
you are now tuned in to GQ Powers Radio, Love and Entertainment, with your host, Rich Money. Rich Money. Rich, 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 rich.
see it started when I was 5. Hired out to watch a baby and they beat me when they cried. I consider that too much of a price. Even though I'm thick skinned, some of the scars stay with me for life. I ain't never been the type to spin around to the other cheek. Putting up a fight to me and my peoples all are free. 4 brothers, 4 sisters, thick family. I'm the 4th child, you following mathematically. God's in my veins, I can feel it in my soul. 3 older sisters never seen again when they were sold. When they came for my brother, my mom's made them a promise. Whoever tried to take them, she's splitting open your noggin. Mommy was a rider, spiritual advisor, security provider. That's why I'm a live wire. When they ain't take my brother, I felt the power inside of me. Influenced by the moment, I'll never settle for slavery. Heavy metal weight in my head as a teen, now with seizures. Narcolepsy and strange dreams from the tribe of Asante through grandma. Modesty, being free, holding my own, just a part of me.
You thinking about coming after me, better bring your faculty. 20 miles away before you even know what's happening. Cargo on my train and it's something like traffic. I'm Harriet the conductor, I ain't never lost a passenger.
I'm plotting on my escape and I'm married and feeling patient. I'm outy with no debating, you silly for conversating. I'm breaking them while you waiting and I make it. I'll be sure to get the safest route to travel and be back for you as base.
September 17th, 1849. Me and my brothers Henry and Ben said it's mine. So we left for Maryland, headed towards freedom land. But they feet chillied up, so we turned around and went back to the owners. Believe me, I didn't wanna. Had I knew my brothers were scared, we're in the bottom. A little while later, man, I ran away again. But this time straight dolo fan backs to the wind. In the middle of the night, in the winter, in the cold, I was navigating on the Underground Railroad. Nah, it ain't a literal train, it's a form of resistance. Just with the railroad theme, so a station's a safe house where the runaways go. And the runaway slaves are considered cargo. The person who hit them considered a station master. And the stockholder's the one who will put the cash up. Me, I'm the conductor, I transported the cargo. Routes that I took remain secret. I took an oath, boss of my train. You get on, there is no rebelling. Grown man said he turning back and I had to tell him. Fam, why you had me bring the metal out? Cock it back, point it at your head and bring the devil out. There's no going back, besides you gon' snitch. And I'll kill you where you stand before you sing behind a whip. Running from slave catchers, a bounty on my head. Until my whole fam free, I don't really care. Had a 10-year span with 19 or so trips. I done freed so many slaves, they calling me Moses. During the Civil War, because of my skills, I became the first woman to lead an armed assault. I am Harriet Tubman, you need to fall back, a conductor. I never ran my train off the track. You thinking about coming after me, better bring your faculty. 20 miles away before you even know what's happening. Cargo on my train and it's something like traffic. I'm Harriet the conductor, I ain't never lost a passenger.
GQ Palace Radio.
I gotta tell you, you're definitely deep. You definitely is deep. Ain't no question about it. Now, who would you say is some of your influences as you coming up for MC?
Man, you know, I came up listening to LL Cool J, Run DMC, Kumo D, Cool G Rap, The Jungle Brothers, Grandmaster Flash. You know, I kind of came up in that area and it kind of extended into, you know, Brand Nubian and, you know, Tribe Called Quest. And, you know, those were my early influences as far as MCs that was in the game. But also, you know what I mean, and I don't think, you know, this gets a lot of credit. It's people in my community that never got on that was just crazy with it. You know, you step out on the block and you go to the corner and it's a cypher. Somebody's there murdering it. And you usually like, yo, that dude is nice. You know what I'm saying? That's the dude that everybody kind of wanted to be like. So, you know, it was a couple of them in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and Willowboro, New Jersey, which is kind of like the two places I grew up in. So, you know, shout out to, man, I call them the unseen soldiers, because I think that kind of situation played a major part in a lot of rappers' lives. You don't just get influenced from the people that you hear on the radio. It's somebody in your community that murdered it.
Yeah. Wow. Now, I know New York Magazine said most people who use hip-hop to educate do so badly. and that you does it so well. How was that to know that this New York Magazine is actually saying this about you?
Cool, cool. It's a humbling experience, man. You know what I'm saying? Every interview, you know what I'm saying, being here at GQ Palace, you know, you give a voice to the voiceless. Without shows like this and hosts like yourself and the people that interviewed me, you know, I wouldn't get around artists, independent artists like myself. We would never be heard. So it's a humbling experience. But I appreciate the fact that everybody really appreciates the music that we're putting out and they really dig it. And it just makes me understand that we got to keep going harder, and keep putting out quality music.
I definitely feel you. Now, what's the next step for Larry Locke Henderson?
We got a, we're coming out with Lesson 2. So next week we're actually going to drop an anti-bullying song and put a whole campaign behind that, you know what I'm saying, because bullying is definitely something that goes on not even in schools, in middle schools and high schools, also in college and also in workplaces and things of that nature. So we're about to have a whole campaign behind that. We're also about to just do a lot of shows and do a lot of interviews because our purpose is to promote the importance of education. So we're just going to, you know, get that into everybody's heads because it's, you know, we're already at a late date. You know what I mean? Kids are already wondering why the classes that they're taking in high school is important and where are they going to possibly need them. You know what I mean? So we're bridging that gap between education and learning and financial stability when they become adults. So we're just going to keep promoting. We're going to keep banging this education drum. And, you know, hopefully we start to make some sort of a difference.
Now, do you have any videos out on YouTube or something? So, you know, because my lines is flooded. And, you know, I want the people to know at least, like, you know, what videos you have out, if you have any videos out or anything like that that they could check up on as well.
Yeah. The video channel. You can go to YouTube, go to Smart Hip Hop Music. We got a video for Cash Flow. We got a video for Congresswoman. We got a video for Kings and Queens. What else you got a video? There's a couple others on there. So, yeah, go to YouTube. Go to Smart Hip Hop Music. You can go to Twitter. We'll be on Smart Hip Hop. You can go to Instagram, Smart Hip Hop. You can go to Facebook, Smart Music Entertainment. You can go to the website, www.smart-hiphop.com. But yeah, definitely check the videos out, man, and definitely check the Kings and Queens video out. And we're going to be shooting a video for I Am Because We Are soon. So, you know, look out for that one.
Now, do you have any problems with doing collabos with people, or is that
I do them all the time. Nah, I do them all the time, man.
Wow.
I'm still an MC, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and I just had my people send me, I did an interview with him. He was a real cool brother. We had a connection, and he sent me a track. I dropped my 16 on it, sent it back to him. Now he's coming out with the mixtape, you know what I'm saying? So I'm a fan of hip-hop music, and I'm a fan of rapping. If anybody wants a 16 from me, they can get it. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's just that at Smart Music Entertainment, we do educational hip-hop music, but that doesn't mean that that's what I'm limited to.
Wow. I definitely feel you. Mister, I just want to tell you it's definitely an honor to have you on. We definitely going to put you in the GQ Palace magazine. I'm pretty sure you know what we also do is we put all the artists, you know, on a CD. And when we go out, we put them out through the tri-state, you know what I mean, get the CDs out to people and everything, mix CDs and all that, promotional CDs. But we definitely going to put you in a magazine and all that. And you're definitely welcome back anytime. It's never a problem. Yeah, if you feel like you want to do a drop for Rich Money, it's no problem, you know? Because everybody that comes over, you need to do a drop, so, you know. You're like, yo, you want to do the drop, there's no problem. Send it in. We definitely going to play it and put it with your tracks and the whole nine. But we definitely going to let people know what's going on with you. Because what you're speaking is definitely the truth. And
Like I was saying, man, like GQ Palace, you know what I mean? It's without these kind of shows, without this kind of support, I would not, you know what I'm saying, have gotten global exposure. You know what I mean? So you got to keep doing what you're doing, bro. It's so needed. You here. You see how the game is today.
Yeah.
This is important. This is hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? This is mm-hmm. the voice of the voiceless. You know what I mean? This is how it started. This is what hip-hop was before the majors and all that and the money and the wicked spirits and all that got into it. You know, this is what it's about. So keep doing your thing, bro. GQ Palace, you know what I mean? This is hip-hop.
For sure. What I want to do is, I definitely want to, because we got another segment coming on with my man, the comedian Ray Ray from around the way. But before we bring him on, I usually play a track, and I definitely want to play that Kings and Queens one more time. So you got more listeners on the line. I definitely want to play that Kings and Queens. Hold on for a minute. I don't know if they're trying to get in. Hello, welcome to GQ Palace. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to?
Hello, this is Rachel. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, good evening.
Hello.
I was listening to the interview. And I was listening to some of the tracks that was played, and great interview and continued success. The music is great. I love it. You definitely have a new fan in me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, sister. I appreciate that. Definitely. That's what keeps us going. Thank you for calling in and even expressing that. Appreciate it.
You are welcome. Continued success.
All right.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. I guess she wasn't scared to press the one button.
Yeah,
but like I was saying, Larry, you're definitely welcome anytime. It's never a problem. You know what I mean? Never, never a problem. All right?
Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it.
All right. No doubt. Larry Locke Henderson, Don Stevens. All right, coming up next, we got comedian Ray Ray from around the way. But like I said, before we even bring on Ray Ray, you know, I play my song or whatever, you know, the intro song, and I definitely got to hit y'all with my man Larry Locke Henderson one more time, Kings and Queens. So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back with Ray Ray from around the way. This is Rich Money, GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter Baby.
Friday night, I spend my time listening to Rich Money, Love and Entertainment on GQ Palace Radio. It's Butter Baby.
Hey, hey, it's Kim. On Friday nights, I spend my time listening to Rich Money, Love and Entertainment on GQ Palace Radio. It's Butter Baby.
Yo, what's good? This is Casanova Rudd from the group Super Lover C and Casanova Rudd. You know, the golden era of hip-hop, baby. You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio with my man Rich Money. Yeah.
But from enslaved Africans, people use words to confuse and how it's trapped again. Our lineage is deep within the challenge. Our family tree consists of people that had influenced the planet, bro. We manage to lose sense of self, we don't identify with the heritage like African American is not African. But listen to me, I'ma have you black again, pumping up your fist and using pics to fix your naps again. I like to give respect to Imhotep, considered by the world to be the first architect, the high priest of the sun god Ra at Heliopolis. He built the seven pyramids in Egypt and they still exist. Poet and philosopher, a recognized genius. He diagnosed 200 different diseases. They say Hippocrates is the father of medicine, but Imhotep lived 2,000 years ahead of him. King Soundwall's Rat, second ruler of Kemet. He was said to have conquered Greece by Herodotus, the first ruler to believe in one God. Was Amenhotep the fourth, later known as Akhenaten King.
We are the lions, we are the fighters, we are the first, the original man, we are the warriors.
just a cooler real like Queen Candace in 322 BC. Empress of Ethiopia, who militantly reigned supreme. She was recognized as a great general. And if you tested her, it might have meant the end of you. Like Alexander the Great, he told his army to wait. He peeped the style and didn't want to invade. He told his man he ain't want to risk losing to a woman up against Queen Candace. He figured he just shouldn't. Another one's Makeda, she was the Queen of Sheba, the symbol of beauty, and then Queen of Zinga, the Amazon Queen of Matamba West Africa, waged war against the slave hunters coming after her, and her peoples, but respect due, yeah, to Queen Nandi, mother of Shaka Zulu, and Queen Nefertiti, one of the first to fight for the plight and respect of a woman's equal right, Queen.
Yeah, this is Grand Agent, GrandAgent.net, Real Grand Agent, Twitter and IG. I'm in the GP Palace, so all that is all good. Rich Money, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it.
Like I say, well, who you know is spitting lyrics like that, real talk. That brother is definitely spitting some lyrics and definitely songs that you could let your kids listen to and not only sing them but learn the fact of what he's saying about his history and about the Black history of America. So coming up next, right now, we got my man Ray Ray from around the way in the building. Ray Ray, what's good, fam?
Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, sir.
Ray Ray, what's going on? You know, we couldn't get you last week.
Hey, man, for the thing, man, you got to far too kind. GQ Palace Radio, can you hear me, baby?
Yes, you can hear. You know, I was eating a little something. I think I heard you burp over the head and all that. You know, wipe your brother up. But yeah,
you know, I know how that goes. It's Friday night. I got my mind wrapped on a fish sandwich. Hot right out the door.
Hey.
Before I can chew it, I got to blow. You already know how we do it.
I definitely am.
Yeah.
Now, how did you come up with Ray Ray, which I'm pretty sure that's your name, but the sequence of it, Around the Way. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, your man LL Cool J, I got to give him credit because he had a girl from Around the Way, right? Remember that I Need Around the Way girl?
Exactly, so, yeah.
I had to give great, great respect to the rapper that came on before me. Well, I want to give a lot of respect to my man LL because he gave me that moniker. I know him from Queens personally, James Todd. But we're not going out like that. It's that the dude was so smooth. He said, where you from around the way? I said, I'm from the Bronx. I lived in Queens. I lived in Brooklyn. I never did this that melon, but I'm from around your way. Hey, I'm here for you. I'm here for you, brother. I'm here for the people. I'm here, I got my mom, you know. She like, well, damn, really, every time I go somewhere, you know somebody. I'm just doing this interview on the radio. Nah, your baby at the house with mommy. I'm on the air right now on the radio, GQ Radio, doing the interview right now. But I stopped the car, pulled over, because I don't want to be driving and be on the phone. You know how they like to get tickets. I don't get a BWI, I get a DWB, driving while I'm black. Yeah. So I know if we don't give them the ammunition, they can't shoot at us. If we don't give you a fishing pole, you can't go fishing. So I learned to make sure that I got my own pole in the water. And you know what? The water cold and it's deep too.
Now,
yes.
What question was Ray Ray from around the way?
Because when I go down south and see family and visitors, when you talk to them country folks down there, They said, yeah, he's from right around the way. Where the store at? Right around the way. So that became a thing that you stick with from around the way. They want to know if you're American. No, I'm from around your way. I could be all the way in Australia. I'm going to build in and blend in with my rap original African descendants. And we all over the world. Soon we'll be on the moon. I'm telling you, brother, this is a great opportunity here at GQ Radio. And you guys got a palace, and the palace inside the palace is a mansion because you're there and you got a dynamite team. And I gotta tell you one thing, brother, about the budget. As a comedian, you gotta travel everywhere. My gas line is on E, and it's been that way for a minute. And I'm not talking about ecstasy neither. I'm on a shoestring budget without laces, and I'm wearing slippers.
Oh,
and I got baby all on my feet.
On
so every move got to be real strategic. Do you know how much Similac costs? Milk costs? And Pampers? Man, I'm trying to tell you, it's hard out here on the pimp. Especially if you ain't got nobody working the street but you.
Now, let me ask you, have you ever done a show and you had a heckler involved with you? Is that what they call them?
Yes. And guess what
Have you ever experienced that?
Yes, I did. And I'm going to tell you how I handled it. I said, thank you, everybody in the crowd. That's my father right there. He's from Special Ed. I tore him up. I put him in the shelf. Put him in the front row. Tore him up. I said, he's supposed to go to the dentist, but I got his teeth right here in my pocket. And I pulled the teeth out of the side of his bag. They got his teeth right here. I spoon feed him, but I use a chocolate noodle spoon.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I get all that comedy and funny business from my mama. I'm going to tell you I do.
Wow.
Yes, I do. You know when you ask your mother what you're doing and she'll tell you, Nanya? That's an abbreviation for none of your business, right? I ask my mother on Friday, she over here choking and laughing. I say, hey, Mom, what's for dinner? She said, pot luck. Whatever's in the pot, good luck. So, that's real from the beginning. I'm talking about going to the grocery store to pack bags. Before I went in the grocery store, before they packed my bag, I learned how to change the prices on my own. Take the label off the high price and put it on low price. I give myself a discount, goddammit. I ain't scared of you motherfuckers. I'm like, Bernie Mac. Some people scared to do that. I get instant discounts. Hey, I ain't lying. I'm over here now. I'm going to ask my mama. Mama, what you got up in the refrigerator? What you got in the freezer? You ain't got to cook. Give it to me raw and frozen.
I know you do.
Oh, so you want to, that's your mom in the background.
Yeah, that's my mom in the background, man. I came over here. I got her at work. True story. Hey, everything about me real. Mama, give them a shout out at GQ Palace Radio.
All right, now, hi, GQ. This is Mama D. Call it safe.
When you're rolling with Ray, you're rolling with something special. I come from something special, Doc. Come on, shoot me another question. I know you got a few.
Wow.
You got to catch this breath, brother. Get it together.
Oh,
you're going to be all right.
Oh. Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, what's the best thing and what's the worst thing about being a comedian?
Oh, one of the best things about being a comedian, you can be honest and they won't judge you. But I look like CeeLo Green, so people judge me all the damn time. Another good thing about being a comedian is it'll open up a door for you to be honest, right? So I got a wife. I don't cheat on her. I ain't got no outside kids. Did you understand that? Two kids in 24 years. You remember the movie, 12 Years a Slave? Do you remember the movie?
Mm.
They was talking about me. Just because you're married don't mean you're going to get it. Sometimes you got to deal with it. But it's cheaper to keep her. It's cheaper to keep her. You know how broke I'd be? I'm broke right now on a shoestring budget without laces and I'm wearing slippers. Imagine how broke I'll be if they take me to child support for two kids. They'll give me a check, but there'll be nothing in it. Just like that commercial. What's in your wallet? There's nothing.
I really believe now you walking around with no shoestring in your legs. His mom is really there. So I believe.
Yeah, mom is really, really here, B. That's so important to have your mom and your good family in your corner. He said he gave you a shout out because you right here. That's right. And she looked good, too. We signing up all boyfriends, though.
Oh, no.
We don't want to make sure you got a 501k, not a 401k, because 401 ain't enough. She wants 500,000.
Okay. So you know what, Ray Ray? This
yes,
is
sir.
What I'm going to do right now. All right, because
yeah,
I have other comedians on as well. I'm going to give the floor to you.
Okay, that's a beautiful thing.
The floor is down yours to do your thing.
Okay, beautiful. Let me give the people that's listening right now a good, entertaining, yuck-yuck laugh. I'm going to tell you something. When I was little, and I know I thought I was tall. I thought I was tall because everybody else was the same size. But guess what? After some time, everybody else kept growing. So I said, hey, mommy, everybody getting tall except me. She said, well, wait a minute, baby, let me go in this cabinet. I'm going to get you some of these vitamins. So she went to the cabinet and got some Flintstone vitamins. She said, eat these Flintstone vitamins, baby. I said, I know that commercial. It may work. They said, we're Flintstone kids, 10 million strong and growing. Well, like I said, after some time, they lied. I'm about 5'5", wearing heels. If I take these heels off, I disappear. I mean, I ate all them pills. I didn't get not 1 inch taller. I got a little wider, though. I tell you that, and I had a colorful set of teeth. You thought I had a grill in my mouth. Candy paint grill. I had it all. Let me tell you another little something smooth and nice. When my son was, hey, what's up, man? Everybody all right? Hey, now for the thing. What's up, Debo? When my son is about to change my daughter's pamper, he said, hey, Daddy, if it's more than water, that's your daughter. I said, you know what? That's okay. I'll change that doodle anyway. I love both my kids, but my son is a serial killer. Captain Crunch, dead. Tony the Tiger, dead. Any cereal I bring in the house, he eats it all. And he even eats the cereal with the nuts. You know, this boy is allergic to nuts, but he eats nuts crazy like his father. He want that Benadryl shot. Give me that shot. I'll take it. That shit puts him to sleep. It got a little alcohol in it. You know, on Fridays, I like to eat fish and salad, but make sure my fish don't got no hair. And all the salads I toss myself. That's my wife. She's so sweet. She tastes like bear meat. And you know what? She likes to wrestle, too. I just tell her, cut her nails, baby. That's my little 2 minutes right there. Come on back, ask me another question. I got my brother right here. This is Debo. Debo, give the brothers at the radio station a good shout-out. Tell them, D, this is GQ Radio Palace.
Oh, this is GQ Radio, but this is Big D from the NYC, you know what I'm saying? Grand Concourse, 170, we going to represent forever, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you, baby. You see, I got a crew with me when I roll, and I love to give a lot of shout-out to my man, Tracy Morgan, who's getting a lot better. And
when I see him.
I'm going to tell Tracy, yo, listen, you alive, and Patrice O'Neal is dead. You know, they always leave the wrong nigga here on earth. They didn't take you, so you better stay away from the Shark Tank. You better stay away from
that
Shark Tank.
That's my man. We grew up together and all that, too. I got to
that's right. I grew up with a nigga in the Bronx. He was fat. Then he
got in the Cedar Park.
That's right, baby.
Snapping and all that.
That's right, baby. Snapping on everybody in school. I love that brother. He told me, I said, Tracy Morgan, how did you lose that weight? He said, well, I stopped eating all them fast foods, and I stopped drinking my 40-ounce, but I got to have my Newports. So I said, what about the Percocet in your pocket? He said, shh, be quiet. You know, police be listening. Yeah, man.
Now, how old were you when you first decided you wanted to be a rapper? I mean, a comedian.
A comedian all my life. Let me tell you something. It started in school since the sixth grade. The principal of the school put me on the microphone, so you are going to be the comedian and the host of the show. You're going to bring up every one of the acts at this talent show. And you know I'm grinding. You know I got it in. I cracked jokes. I snapped on every act. At the end of the night, I gave them the trophy, but I kept the money. First place prize, cash. Second place was cash. Third place was cash. I gave everybody a handshake, and the winner got one trophy. Then at the end of the talent show, we were having a jam inside the school gym. And this is 22. That's right down the block from Grandmaster Flash Building, where Cool Herc lived, up the block on Sedgwick. So I was there at the birthplace. I was so little, they used to tell me, Shorty, back up from the ropes. I wouldn't back up from the ropes. I went under the ropes and started break dancing. I grabbed the mic, I bust a rhyme, and after I bust a rhyme, I see people laughing, so I would tell a joke. And the jokes went like this, 3, 6, 9, the monkey drank wine, give me a dime, every time. And every time I got a dime. So I made them laugh, I bust a rhyme, and I got some money. That's a good combination. Plus, comedy will get you some pussy. Let me say it again. Comedy will get you some pussy.
Oh, you can't say that. I got all types of lessons on my line.
I'm not going to lie, but if you make a lady laugh, she just might give you some ass. So don't ever stop thinking of a joke.
Wait. We gotta make this rated. I have all listeners on. I mean, from 16 and...
Okay.
You can't use the P word.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't know. You should have told me we was going cold blue. I didn't know there would be two little cops. That's my fault. I can't help, but I can fix it. So whatever went out first, let's reverse it. Okay, I'll rewind. Select the rewind. But I'll move forward with that. I want you to know, as I get into this comedy game, man, it really is a joy and a pleasure. I'm like a doctor, because it says laughter is the best medicine. And if I can make you laugh, I can keep you feeling better, and that'll keep you from getting sick. But you better watch out, because I got this other thing called make them laugh until they cry. Because some people want to laugh, and some people cry laughing. I said, baby, what's wrong? She said, nothing. I said, you paid the rent? She said, no. I said, well, bend over. I'm going to give you the rent money right now. She wanted the rent money. And I wanted something else. I said, we got a good exchange. Do I owe you any change? She said, did you finish it? I said, yeah. She said, I didn't even feel a thing. I said, that's my exchange. And when I was done, she said, did you stick it in? I said, yeah, I did. And she's still my friend. 24 years I've been married to that lady. And I'm crazy about her.
Wow.
You know her name is Hurricane Katrina, right? Hurricane Katrina is home with two kids right now. I'm sitting in the car sweating like a preacher on the pulpit.
So how do you balance it out, considering the fact you got to travel here, you got to travel there, you got your family over here? How do you balance it out?
I tell you exactly how I do the traveling. I balance it out. 4th of July was a big holiday, so I did everything I could do with the family first. And then that night, I had a show with my man, Capone, the Gangster of Comedy, at Touche's. So in order to book the gigs, I go straight up to the comedian who's in charge. Hey, listen, my name is David from Round the Way. I'm going to do 5 minutes on your show, and I'll be there early so I can just take a look at the crowd. So when he got up on stage, he said, I met Raven from around the way. You know, he stalked me at the Apollo. I said, you know I did. I know where you at and when you at. But my name was threw in the hat. So they threw my name in the hat and said, we need new people at our show. I perform with all the best, and I leave a nice taste in their mouth. Because I'm round and I'm round. I look like a milk dud. And I told a few of the ladies that work with them, I said, baby, I'll melt in your mouth and not in your head. I'm the right man. Give me the mic and let me make these people have a good time. I'm an entertainer naturally. I'm naturally that dude. I got up on stage and I did the ABCs and had them cracking up. Ironically speaking.
You did what?
ABCs. The real, real life. ABCD. EMT. Just by my voice, I know it's funny. You motherfuckers are drunk and I see. I don't know the rest of the ABCs. They lost it.
Oh, man.
It's a gift.
Wow.
It truly is a gift. It's a gift, my brother.
So,
has,
how do you, you know, because you said you got kids, right? Has,
yeah.
I don't know if they're old enough, but.
Yeah, I got a 12-year-old and I got a 13-year-old. My 12-year-old thinks he's 30. And my 2-month-old feel like she the boss. She can just holler at you to get what she wants. She literally hollers at you.
Now, yeah, I know, I know some comedians, don't allow their kids to go to their events. You allow your kids to, like, you know, if they could go.
Say that one more time, Playboy.
I said, I know some comedians, you know, their kids is older, you know, not like a teenager. They don't allow them to go to the events because, you know, of what they be saying. Do you feel like, you know, your kids is going to go if they can go, or you just going to leave them at home and let them, you know what I mean?
No, when he's age appropriate, he can come to the show because I try to be universal. I like to have white people at my show, Chinese, everybody. You know how much Chinese food I make? They better bring their ass to the show. Wing Ling, Miss Ling Ling. I done got my feet done so many times. I go to the barbershop, the nail salon. I go to everywhere, the Dominican shop, the African lady. You break hair? Yes. I want everybody there because I can relate
now,
to them.
I want to ask you a question.
Yes, brother.
How do you feel about Christian comedians?
They soft. So soft, they can't punch their way out of the paper bag. They don't curse, and they feel inhibited. See, God said his tongue is like a two-edged sword. It cut on both sides. So why you being shy and acting like you a Catholic school girl? The nuns and the preachers don't want them. You don't got too many famous, big-time Christian comedians. I can't name five. I can't. But the dirtier you are, the only one I know that's turning that way is Bruce Bruce. Because Creflo Dollar put a good dollar in his pocket. Bruce Bruce do a lot of shows for Creflo Dollar at the church. And then you got Yolanda Adams. And she got a comedian that come on her show on the radio in the morning at 11:90. I don't want to throw no commercials out there for free. But those guys, they have a certain market. They only go to the black colleges. They do shows at the churches. I think they're going to be all right. They making their budget to handle what they need. But I want to be a global entertainer. An entertainer that reaches Amsterdam, London, China, Tokyo, and when I speak in English, they'll translate that and get the joke. I don't have to speak their language, Kinesiwa. Shit, I'll say beef and broccoli, $8. Give $8, give me a sauce. They know exactly what that means. They might can't speak back, but they know what I want.
So, as you being a comedian, who would you say is the best comedian of all time? If you got a lot, Richard Pryor, Red Fox, Bernie Mac, Martin Lawrence, you know, who would you say?
You know, a lot of people don't want to go there, but I'm going to say his name anyway, Paul Mooney. He's getting old.
Okay.
Paul Mooney wrote for Red Fox. Paul Mooney wrote the jokes Richard Pryor told. Paul Mooney wrote the jokes Dave Chappelle told. Paul Mooney. Trust me when I tell you, he's up there at the level of Mobbs Mabley without the handcuffs because he got enough money. Now, he got enough money and enough fame that he's been tamed because he's a little older now and he's getting a little sick and he's slowing down. But Paul Mooney wears one of those crowns. Now, on the other side of comedy world, I'm going to flip it for you. I love Lucy. Lucy was a comedian, so funny. The best one, I think, was she tried to stick all that chocolate in her mouth. It reminded me of what White Women really like to do with the chocolate we got. Come on, brother. I'm not going to say that because you told me we got kids listening. But think about Carla and Lucy putting all them chocolate balls in her mouth at the factory. You know she lost her job, but she got a lot of phone calls after that show from a lot of black men.
So let me ask you.
Husband, Ricky Ricardo. So she was dipping the neighborhood, brother. Lucy was in the neighborhood. I love Lucy. And another reason why I want to go back to Lucy, when they found the oldest fossil in the cradle of civilization in Africa, they named that lady Lucy. Now, I don't know one African lady. Not one. But you do the math and connect where I'm going with that, since we talked about MLK, the other rapper that was on earlier, dealing in knowledge. I like to drop comedic knowledge. Check this out. These are five words that no black man wants to hear. May the defendant please rise. And they're talking to you. Remember those five words? May the defendant please rise. And he's talking to you. You don't want to hear that, Doc. Because you know that's your freedom right there. As a comedian, I got to give one more brother who's more modern, because I went old school on them two. Let's go modern, contemporary. I like to pattern myself in the vein of a Jamie Foxx. And Jamie was a triple threat. I feel I'm a triple threat. I can sing, dance. I'm not going to blame it on the alcohol. I'm going to blame it on that big butt girl named Monique from 169th Street. That's just right. I'm blaming it on her and her girlfriend Robin, because I ain't never had a fight like that in my life to escape two big fat girls. They had me buttered up, about to stick me in the oven, dog. I did what I had to do. I got out, jumped out the window. I was like Ron Brown. I'm jumping out the window with this one. Jumping out the window with this one. Man, my mom is so funny. She's so funny. When she hit me years ago, I didn't cry until the next day. It was a delayed reaction. I hollered, but nothing came out. But the next day, I was still standing. Felt the pain. So I know that love and pain go together. Like comedy, there's joy and pain. And you got to take the sunshine, and you got to take the rain.
Now,
if you can get past the smell, you got it licked.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah, for real.
And that
now, let me ask you. What is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because you know,
shoot
some comedians.
Just,
You have some comedians, right? They go and they do a show, and nobody's laughing. How do a comedian get over that?
When you get a cricket,
you know, when you go to,
remember, if you want to try to make that joke funnier, you can rip it out the book, ball it up, and you throw it away. Don't ever bring that joke back out again. Use what works. Don't ever. Now, you're going to bomb. There will be bombs sometime. I'm not talking about World Trade Center. There will be bombs, but not that bad. What happens is you got to know your crowd, speak to them, and cater to them. So if you at a church function, you want to talk about things that the church do, they always make chicken, but it still got hair on it. You got to pick that shit off yourself. If you at church and you eat the chicken, look at it closely. If it didn't come from Popeyes, guarantee you got a hair and a feather. And it might be gray hair. I just don't know. I just don't know, Doc. I'm glad that when I do shows, I use props, afro, robes, clothing, fake teeth, guitars, bongos, wigs, everything. You know what?
Is that something that you stage? Like when you do your show, do most of the comedians stage, or do they already have their stuff written down?
I bring my own. is BYOB. I bring my own stuff. I bring my own mic, my microphone stand, my speakers, my equipment. I get out there. Man, I got a pair of baby white shoes. You know, baby wear them hard white shoes. Man, I got me a pair of them joints from Buster Brown. I got a bottle of white shoe polish. And when I put them on at the end of the show, you would think you're talking to Pop Brown. I'm telling you, man, it's a blessing to be the features that God gave me that I got from my mother and my father. I'm gifted, I'm talented, I'm young and I'm black, and I can adapt. You know, black people have had to assimilate all our lives. When we were slaves, and we would talk to the boss, we would say, how are we doing, boss? Wait a minute. You don't find that white motherfucker sick. You're supposed to say, how you doing? Medea, how you doing? Wendy Williams, how you doing? But back in the day, because we got the slave mentality, it ain't come out like that back then. It came out just like this. How we doing, boss? What we eating for dinner? She eating steak. You eating the leftovers in the crumbs. It's hard, brother. That's why I'm so glad.
Now, let me ask you, as far as hecklers, you don't think they help the show more, or do you feel like they sabotage
it? They do. It's like that curve. When you're looking at the girl crossing the street and you miss your turn, now you got to go back around. A heckler will make you recircle. It can improve your show, or it can tear your show up. It can mess up some people's career. There was a heckler in the audience, and the guy from Steinfeld lost it and went, nigger, excuse me for the nigger word. But his career is over, right? Me, if I get a heckler, I bring him into my family and I control him. Number one reason why? He has no microphone. So everything they say sound like this. To the audience. Only person next to them heard what they said. So I can take it and say, he didn't take his medication today. That's my father. He's only mildly retarded. And just destroyed it. And if it was a lady, I say, I know you can't understand her. I got her teeth in my pocket. I'm going to give it back to her at the end of the show. She had gave me some special attention for a little while. And I left her teeth in my pocket.
So do you feel a comedian is something you could make a career out of?
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. I did a show at Junior High School 22, and I went to that school some years ago. So I did this show, and I got paid $900. That right there changed my life. My first show was there when I was in the sixth grade, and my highest paying show was there last year, Black History Month, February 13th. So that was my confirmation and my launch. I did a lot of comedy through my years and didn't get paid, you know, snapping on people, doing the dozens, telling the jokes at parties and families and friends. But this is a business, and I am a businessman. So I throw events, I co-sign events, whether you gay, lesbian, whether you BBW, big and beautiful, whether you 16. My last show that I did for young people, because I know we got some young listeners. Hey, what's up? I'm on the radio doing an interview right now with GQ Palace Radio. This is my sister right here.
What's up? I'm calling for GQ Palace Radio. How y'all doing today?
Yes, bro.
Oh, that's
I'm
the
going to
the
be on Twitter if they follow me. In the street, yes, sir. I'm telling you, it's all about doing that thing, baby. Get that network. So, yes, it's a career, and I did a Sweet 16 at Tusker Marquee on Tremont and entertained the young ones, the old ones. Anyway, I got to get a call. Hey, listen, I'm going to do a show right now tonight, but I got you guys first on my schedule. I got to be there at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
10 o'clock at Hawk.
Yeah, before you leave, I definitely want you to give all that information out. Now, let me ask you.
Yes, sir.
as far as doing stand-up comedy, what is the limit, time limit for it? Do y'all have a certain time limit? And what happens if you want to go for that time limit?
Yeah, if you're
how much
closing,
time do you usually get?
You should give them a time frame. You're doing a solo one-man show, you're doing about an hour of material. If you are just an opener, you would open up with 5 to 10 minutes. And if you are doing it like that, they want you to give you a time frame. A lot of times they ask you to stretch it so that the next guy can be ready or the DJ get ready with the music. I come up there ready to go long, and when I get the light, they put a light up. There's a light on the side of the stage, and when they put that light up, that means you can stop now. And that's how they do it everywhere. If you hear the music come on, and if you at the Apollo, Sandman come out and get you. So, you know that's how that works. That's when it's real. That is the real deal. Speaking of Apollo, let me let you know, I know my time is almost up. I'll be at the Apollo coming up. Auditions on September 21st. I'm at
September
48, 21st? August 9th. Yes, sir. September the 13th, I'm at Alpella's, 31 Chambers Street, Manhattan. Man, I got a calendar full of events. When I check my email, some I can do. And if I can't do it, I'll send one of my other fellow comedians to go out there and represent. And then
now,
they get that.
Now, okay, so let's say you send somebody out there, and they're not as funny as you. Do you feel like you took that as a loss, or you feel like they took it as a loss?
Well, it would be a learning experience for them, and what I would do is call them and tell them, this is the type of crowd you got. Do this material out of your repertoire, because I know that that's going to work. If you're a skinny guy, you like talking about fat people, it's going to work at a skinny function. You won't be offending anybody fat. So it makes sense to help them out a little bit, coach them. And some of these guys, they go off track. They can get distracted. But what you want to do is keep them focused that you're telling the joke, you're telling the story, just like the people that see them dancers on the subway. Those dancers are great. They're better than the strippers on the pole. But they haven't had any accidents. What kind of accidents, you ask me? Kicking a rider in the face. Now, if I was a subway dancer, I'd have a lot of accidents on purpose. I'd kick a person in the face, in the throat, in the chest. But the best, you know why? I can't dance on no damn pole. I can't do it. So if I can't do the comedy, I won't get out there. But if I can do it, you best believe it's going to be a good show. And nobody get kicked in the chest or the face. In the train.
Now, so what process do you use to develop your stand-up comedian material?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Current events, what's going on around me, what's happening globally, and what God gives me. I mean, I can tell you right now, I had an ex-girlfriend that God gave me, but guess what God gave her? Bad breath. So when I see her, I don't kiss her. I throw a kiss to her. I blow it. Yeah. I found out the hard way. The first time I kissed her, that's how I found out. She never got a kiss from me again. Breath tastes like doo-doo. Teeth look yellow. She ain't got no gold in her mouth. That's what happened.
No. Do you feel you have to be patient when it comes to doing, like, stage time in the beginning? Because I know it seems like there's far more people in line than there is stage time available.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's for those cats that ain't funny. My phone is blowing up. I got offers to set up comedy at different restaurants that's about to open up. They want one night a week, Thursday at this location. I'm there. I'm booking it in the Bronx, in Queens, in Manhattan. And you know what's best about that? I bring other comedians on. Hey, Joey, He even got the little dog here, too. He's looking for a treat. That's my little dog, Joey. He can't talk right now. He's just smelling everything. He's looking for the weed. He's looking for my weed. That's what he's looking for. Dog's been high with us.
I got a prescription.
So those other two things are not drugs. But cocaine is a drug. Heroin is even worse. It's nothing like Frank Sinatra on stage and can't remember. But if he had a smoke to join, he would have never forgot any of his songs. So it is true. Up to you, New York. New York. Because I'm not going to judge nobody. No, I'm not going to judge nobody. Let them do what they want to do, to each his own. As long as I got a stable man, and they nothing like what happened to, you remember Chris Tucker? He was in the movie Friday, and Hector gave him some of that angel dust, and it bumped him out. See, you don't want that. You just want to make sure everything you do is regular and under control, and you can handle it. I'm telling you, brother, there's so much stuff out there now. The comedians, we got groupies, brother. First time I got off the stage at a show, a lady came up to me, and she wanted to kiss me right in my mouth. But she had in her mouth liquor already. Said, I want to give you a shot. I said, no, you're not. You need to go take a shot, a technic shot. I tell you, man, her name was Heaven, and she was trying to take me straight to hell.
Oh, man.
Her name was Heaven, and she wanted to take me straight to hell. I said, no, thank you. I know what you got is good, but it's not for me. I drink my liquor out of shots and belly buttons. And she started laughing because she had her liquor in the wrong place. Then I poured it on her belly and took a shot. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's too many germs inside the mouth. But it wasn't no germs in her belly button.
Is there such thing as a ghost writing comedian, where you write comedian jokes for somebody else? Is there such thing
as
that?
Yes, we do. We just like Jay-Z, ghost writers. And they'll pay you enough so that way they think that the fans is helping them. Chris Rock does it for his brother, Tony Rock.
You know what?
I didn't mean to blow nobody up, but I'll give you as an example. Yes, sir.
Because you know what? And you know what's funny? Because when I was watching it overnight, I'm seeing him. I said, why? He seemed just like Chris Rock. But it never dawned on me that Chris Rock had a brother. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Something like, even his movement sometimes is like
Chris Rock. He got two brothers. His brother, Tony Rock, is out there now. But he got another younger brother that's coming onto the scene, too. And he's helping them. Yeah, he's only helping Jewish black people. You know Chris Rock is a black Jew.
You say you're a black Jew?
He's a black Jew. He lives according... His best friend is Adam Sandler.
Oh, yeah? That's a funny guy, too.
That's a funny guy. Hey, listen, I'm about to become Jewish, too. Shit, they got all the money. All the money and all the diamonds.
If you don't
only
know,
one that got
now
more
you
money
know.
Than them is Davey from Cash Money. That's the richest... But don't forget now, I don't want to blow nobody up. If you an atheist, devil worshiping, whatever they do, I'm not putting that on them. They chose to do it themselves. So I go do a show. You heard that, right? I go do my show. I say, thank you, Jesus, for keeping the devil off my ass and looking forward. But remember, if you look back, you turn into a pillow salt. I never look back. I just keep on moving forward. You know? You're supposed to, brother. You can't judge him now. He's rich. But remember what he had to go through in New Jack City. He was Pookie the crackhead. And he was the rat in the snitch. He got killed. You know the story. Snitches get stitches. Crackhead dig ditches. So I make sure that I have good Jewish lawyers, because Johnny Cochran dead.
Yeah.
He can't get you. He dead.
Exactly.
And they gave him that brain tumor. It didn't just grow. They got shit out here where they can just give you, and you don't know how you got it. Remember Muhammad Ali, the greatest boxer of all times?
Yeah, you know, he started shaking and,
yeah. He got this, yeah, they gave him that shit, man. Do you remember the Tuskegee experiment? They gave black people syphilis and herpes to see what would happen to you. Now, you want to know the modern day? Let's go current. AIDS is also a man-made disease. You heard it first from Ray Ray from around the way. It did not come from Africa and no monkeys. Remember, you watch the Planet of the Apes.
That's what they say.
That's true, brother. Remember what they say now. Apes do not kill apes.
Right.
But man will kill man and everything around them. Right. And women are the ones that create life. So it's all about the love, brother. It's all about the love. And comedy is love. I'm being as honest as I can. That's why when I get on TV, I can say certain things. I'm on the radio, I can say certain things. But it ain't going to hurt my performance as an artist and as an entertainer. All I'm doing is getting the power of voice to listen to me. I know you're listening to me. I want them to know that be educated. I went to John Jay because they speak about criminal justice. And I know that black people are flooding the system. How in the hell are we 30% of the population in the world free, but 80% of the people incarcerated? That ain't no joke. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Right.
You let me beyond it. I'm telling you, man, I'm not even nervous no more because I got that ability to say, fuck it, excuse me, cry two tears in a bucket. And you might catch me at the club called Block It.
Hey.
And that's on the west side, 135th Street, in Harlem. So, I'm telling you, man, I'm ready to fight a pit bull. My ass may be stacked against me, but they were stacked against David when he met Goliath, too. I got a rock in my hand. And I got the mic in my other hand. So if somebody say something stupid in the crowd, I might pull my rock out, aim it real good, and throw it at their ass. And then, at the end of the day, that's a trained hustle. The best thing is to hustle. I mean, I hustled so hard at this game. I was little, and I thought I was going to be tall because I wanted to play basketball. I wanted to be in the NBA. I was good enough. I got a game tomorrow at West 4th Street. If you come to West 4th Street in the village at 6 o'clock, you'll see me playing basketball with some real friends. It's over the hill. But you know what? When you black, you can do that. When you black, you believe. I know I'm short. But I got so much belief in me. Man, I believe I'm tall. I'm about 7 feet right now.
I feel you. I definitely feel you on that one.
Oh, yeah, that confidence is big, baby.
That's where it gotta be.
It gotta be. You can have a 4-inch special thing, but when you put it in the girl, you're gonna make it feel like it's 9. Because you can mess with the mind, dog. Yeah, no, I got 2 more minutes. Well, how much time I got up on the view? Interview.
You got like two more minutes, like 4 or 5 minutes. But see, what I want you to do is I want you to give your information out. You know, let them know what show you have going on.
Yes.
You know, let them know what show you have going on, what you got coming up and everything.
Yes. Facebook, Ray Ray from Around the Way, that's my Facebook page. My Twitter handle is Ray Norris Senior at Ray Ray Funny, and my Instagram is Ray Ray from Around the Way. Really got that media out there. Put my government out there, Raymond Norris Senior at Gmail for any emails. You can book me. You can book me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm constantly working, but like I said, I got a little baby girl home, so I'm real selective. I try to do my shows Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays. Three nights out the week, I'm out the house with Cool Bubba Ice, Talent, Drew Frazier, a few other guys, Smokey Suarez. He's still smoking. Yes, Smokey is still smoking. That means everything. I mean every damn thing. He walked by me. I thought it was DJ Clue. That's how much smoke he had around him. I didn't know who it was. Well, I saw it was question marks. I'm telling you, brother, the comedy thing is back. But when I was younger and I was the class clown, my mother whipped it out of me and said, you go to school to get an education, not to entertain these fools. But I was picked by the principal, so I had to think about it. Listen to my mother or listen to the principal. But I made the money from the principal, and I told my mother about it. And she said, well, give me $40. I gave her some money. And she let me be funny. Now that is how it all works. Compromise. If you give me some money, you could be funny. You know? I'm telling you, man. Hey, listen. When I was little, and I had about $307 less, keep doing them shows in the parks and in the jams, I had about $345. And I used to pack bags. Hey! Good, baby girl is good. I'm going to bring her around to see you. Yes, you will see her real soon. I'm just doing the interview. I'll be right up. 2 seconds. Brother, so I had some money. Light bill was due. I was able to give that to Mama Duke and bless her. And you want to come do a shout-out? Come do a shout-out, girl. Bring her that big booty over here. This is a light-skinned African. I tell you, I got it all. I got me a light-skinned African queen.
Hey, shout out to Boogie Down Bronx, you already know.
Yeah. Hey, there we go. This is one radio station you want to say the name right. It's GQ Palace.
GQ Palace Radio.
Yeah, baby, GQ Palace Radio. I got a fine, light-skinned African with braids in the hair. Listen, if I get her in this car, I ain't bringing her back. I'm keeping the booty like that. Hey, man, listen, brother, she got that snapback. She had the baby and everything snapped right back.
Wow.
You would think she was Dominican. Ray, Ray. That thing is like that. It looked Dominican to me, but I just know better. So, that might be my baby. She going to take me to Maury. You already know. And then the results are in. TWIL, the results are in. You are 99.5% not the father. Also, I did get some of that Gucci, though. I got the 0.5. Yeah, I used the condom. That was me.
Oh, man. Yo, Ray Ray.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank you for joining us. Yo, it was an honor having you on. You are
my
welcome
pleasure.
Back. Any time is never
thank
a
you.
Problem. But what
yes,
I want you to do,
I'm
I want you
to
more
too.
People came on the line. More people came on the line. So I want you to give that information one more time of where you're performing at and everything.
Yes, sir. August 9th, I'm at Stage 48 in Manhattan. On August 1st, I'm at Touche's on 138th Street in the Bronx. You can look all these names up. They're all live. They all got websites. September 21st, I'm at the Apollo Theater, New York City. On September the 13th, these are just some of the dates that I'm throwing out there. I'm at Alfella's in Lower Manhattan. That's a wrap for right now. That's four right there. And I know the work in the spirit. I thank you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's going to make everything possible. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to have them all laughing.
Ain't no question about it. Yo, Ray Ray, like I said, it's definitely an honor, and you're welcome back anytime. Shout out to my cousin, Billy Ajibor, for filling us in on this joint right here. So shout out to
you. Billy, my man, yeah. Big Bill. Thank you, brother, for listening in. If you got any questions, any viewers who want to call, come to my Facebook and I'll inbox you the number so we can negotiate. I got real low prices for real high quality laughs. And
no,
I love the way you handle your business, brother. Thank you very much.
Thank you, yo. And like I told the last, my man, Locke, if you want to do a shout-out, please feel free to send Rich Money a shout-out. Not a problem.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to my mother, my father, my brothers and sisters, my wife and my two kids, and I'm so glad to be free, and I'm not behind any bars, because the 44th precinct is the worst. And they worse than Crazy Joe. And if you don't know, ask somebody. I'm so Bronx. I remember Crazy Joe from the NYPD, and he had nothing to do with the PAL.
No doubt.
That's how Bronx I am. So
no doubt.
I'm born in the birth of hip-hop. I'm going to make this comedy thing pop. I'm not trying to be smart, and I don't want to fart, but I'm not that dude named Kevin Hart. This is Ray Ray, down the way. I'm coming off the bench, baby. I'm coming to play. Coming off the bench, baby.
All right,
brother.
All right, Ray Ray. Yeah. I'll definitely holler at you. Thanks. For
you already know, my brother. Peace and blessings. Thank you. DQ Palace Radio. Let me give a shout out to Palace Radio. If you want to be in the end and want to get it done right, you better listen to GQ Palace Radio on Friday night.
Don't be surprised you hear that.
Oh, I'm going to hear it, brother. And you can put that moniker in there. Friday night, if you want to be ready, listen to GQ Palace Radio. This is Ray Ray from around the way. Peace.
All right.
Yes.
Hey,
before I go, I know I'm going a little bit over. I want to let you know that Ray Ray from around the way, the name of my organization is One Nation Comedy Groove. I came to make you laugh. I came to make you moan. Yes, brother. So cry laughing, because if you're not laughing, you're not living.
Ray Ray from around the way.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyone, you can use any of them drops, brother. I get out to the people for free, because I know it'll come back to me. The universe is like that.
All right, for sure. It definitely will.
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all, the demons. That's my man Ray Ray from around the way.
Thank you, my man.
All right, y'all, coming up next, we got the sensational Heather Walker in the building. And we're going to be playing some of her smasher singles and find out what's been going on with her in the music industry, as well as that reality show she was on VH1. So stay right there and don't move. This is Rich Money, GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
GQ Palace. GQ Palace. GQ Palace.
That's a brand name. Like Pepsi, that's a brand name. I stand behind it. I guarantee it. They know that, even if they don't know me any more than they know the chairman of General Mills.
Making money moves.
Turn it up.
Down on the streets is how they live their lives. From hood to hood, keeping it swinging and making it tight. Standing on the food stamp line. Most people said it feels like doing time. Some are even lying. Oh, no. Just
DJ Kevsky, and this is the GQ Palace, hosted by my man, Rich Money.
Hello,
Heather. Are you there?
Hello.
Well, hello. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm hanging in there. It's been a while. We've been trying to get you on. It's been a while. I've been saying, because, you know, we're here now.
We're here. Yes.
Now, let's get your name first. Is that your government name or is that just your stage name?
That's my government name. My mother named me Heather. She named me after a character on General Hospital. She said as soon as I came out, she saw a drama. she called me Heather. Yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Now, as far as you singing, how old was you when you first started singing?
Well, my mother told me I started singing when I was 2 years old. I remember singing when I was 5 years old at my school assembly. I was five doing the, we had an alma mater. I remember doing that. I remember doing the Star Spangled Banner. So I would say to my remembrance, about 5 years old.
Okay. Now, who would you say are some of your biggest influences in the music industry that made you want to start with?
I would say Whitney Houston, Chaka Khan, Patti LaBelle, Mary J. Blige. I just love people that sing from their souls, you know, like soul music. Like when you listen to it, you can actually feel. You know, you could feel where they're coming from. You know, that's what kind of influenced me to sing and to continue to sing. Of course, Whitney Houston is one of our greats, you know, that passed away, which was so sad. But, you know, I always looked up to her growing up, and I did a lot of her songs at talent shows. And, you know, it was just a blessing to be able to sing her music at different talent shows and stuff. And just, she's a blessing to everybody. Even though she's gone on to be with the Lord, you could still listen to her music and hear her soul.
Yes, exactly. Now, the song we just played, Money Moves, I'm letting the listeners know that was Heather Wood, Miss Heather Walker, that's from that song. Tell us about that single that was just played, Money Moves.
That particular song was something that I recorded a couple of years back. We had recorded that song, trying to get it on. I think we were trying to do something with Marv Parker with that song and Cool G Rap. So we didn't actually get it on their album, but I still got an opportunity to sing, you know, on Cool G Rap's album. So that song was actually inspired from me actually trying to work with them.
Now, let me ask you, like you said, you're dealing with Cool G Rap. What is that experience like? Because you're like an R&B singer, and I know you do gospel. So what is it like working with a legend like Cool G Rap?
It was actually a privilege to be in the studio with him, number one. He's a very hard worker, very extreme hard worker,
And he's about his paper. You know, he's about his paper. Ma Barker, she's very excellent to work with. It was a great experience, I'll tell you that much. And it's, he is who he is. You know, it's not, he's not somebody that's like faking the funk. He's Kool G Rap. So the same thing you see on the camera, that's how he is off camera.
Okay. So let me ask you, like you deal with Kool G Rap, who's one of the artists that you feel you would love to perform with that you haven't performed with yet?
R. Kelly. I would love to do a song with R. Kelly. Lettucey, Jaheim, Patti LaBelle. It's so many artists, you know, that Mary J. Blige, that would be awesome if God opened that door for me. It's just so many artists.
Wow. So yeah. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you step in that studio and go in that booth and when you go on stage?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind when I'm in the booth, I'm actually going to write and sing about my life experience, whatever is going on at that given moment in my life. I might be, like, I remember going in the studio one time and just was going through a situation where I didn't know, you know, where food was coming from, and I didn't know how I was going to get it. And when I got in the studio and I started singing, the song that came out was just something that people needed to hear. Something that, you know, when I sing it in different churches, they tell me, wow, you know, and the title of the song is Hold On. So it just depends on my mood. I'm a mood singer. So it depends on what mood I'm in. I might go in the studio. I might be in a happy mood at that time. I might be, you know, celebrating something in my life. And when I go in, I'm going to sing like I'm celebrating, like I'm happy. When I step on the stage, when I'm on the stage, I feel like just serenading the audience and letting the audience feel what I feel. Like, I want them to understand my lyrics and understand my music. So when I get on stage, it's like, you know, I'm developing a relationship with that audience. You know, that's like the first thing when I step out there, you know. And, of course, it's the feeling of, you know, you have an opportunity to allow thousands of people to hear your music, to hear, to feel your soul.
Well, you know what? I want to get into, you know, we got into Money Moves. That is your intro and everything. That song is fire. I heard all your music. They all are hot. But I want to get into
the next single,
I Gave to You. Tell us about that.
Which one?
I Gave to You.
Oh, I Gave You My Heart. Okay. That's a house track. I wrote that song almost, I would say, about, it's been a while, maybe about 10 years ago I wrote that song. I had a breakup. My husband left me with the 3 kids, and I just felt like I had gave everything to him. You know, myself, had his children and everything, and he just, you know, walked out. So, you know, in that song, it's saying that, you know, you can give your heart to somebody, but till you learn how to love yourself, you know, and understand who you are, you know, then it's like life is like a reflection, you know. So the song talks about giving your heart to a man. So, because that's the place where I was at that time in my life.
In other words, love caught you, huh? Oh,
yes.
Well, they understand the meaning of that, because quote right there as we go on, you know, they hate the song. But we're going to get into this right now. God and Davis, this is the sensational Heather Walker on DQ College Radio, one of her smashing singles. Okay, I got I Gave to You. What do you got?
Hello?
Heather?
Yes, what'd you say?
I said, okay, the title I got is I Gave to You. What title that supposed to be?
I think I gave you my heart, or is it love?
Okay, I gave you my heart. So that's absolutely kind of. All right, so this is the sensation of Heather Walker on DC College Radio. A smashing single, one of them, I gave you my heart. Remember where you heard it. Love and entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Hi, this is Deja Vu, and you're listening to GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment with Rich Money.
This is Elias, and you're listening to Rich Money on GQ Palace Radio. Follow me.
You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment, with your host, Rich Money, Rich Money, Rich Money, Rich Money, Rich Money, Rich Money, Rich Money.
Wow. How long did it actually take you to compose that whole song?
We did that song in one night. I was working with Darren Whitman. He did some tracks for Britney Spears and Changing Faces. We did that in one night.
Wow.
I mean, it took him longer to master to do all the mastering, but I recorded in one night.
Wow. So let me ask you, as you being an artist and you being out there, does it ever have any problems with you traveling, to dealing with the family and everything?
With family?
Yes.
Well, it was kind of hard. It was kind of hard in the beginning because my children were very young, but my parents stepped in and helped me. So it's like if I would go on a 2-month tour, they would be there to step in, you know, with the children. It was just like a team, like teamwork.
Okay. Now, you also do gospel.
Yes, I do. Gospel is actually my first love.
Now, how do you change that up like that? Like, from R&B, because you know gospel is R&B, depending on how you do it. But was it something that you just felt like you had to do? Was gospel one of the first things you did, or was it after the R&B?
Well, actually, gospel has always been first in my life. I grew up in church. My father was a pastor and a bishop. He's retired now, Bishop John H. Williams. And I grew up in church singing in the choir. And so it was something that was just like a part of my life, gospel. And having, you know, I call it inspirational music, having a relationship with God.
Wow. Wow. So, now let me ask you this question. You heard the music that's out now, right?
Yes.
Compared to the music that was R&B that was out back then, do you feel that it's more sexual exploited than it was back then? And if so, considering that you are R&B singer, what's your intake on that?
Oh, okay. You're asking me if the music is more sexually explicit now? I feel like the music, yeah, it depends. You got Trey Songz out there. He's kind of, you know, talking about sex all the time. And I think that the generation now is more, they're talking more about making money and parties. And, you know, I feel like back in the day when we had Marvin Gaye and Smokey Robinson and we had Jodeci and Prophet Jones. And, I mean, we had, like, there was more sexuality before. This is what I'm feeling. You know, most of the artists now, it seems like they're doing a lot more, you know, bragging about what they have. This is what I'm hearing. We do have some artists that's very, you know, that speaks about, you know, sexuality. We have Joe. He's, you know, he kind of brings the love out. Joe and Tank and Tyrese. We do have some. You know, but more or less, I feel like it's more of the artists nowadays are talking about what they have, like their car and their paper. That's more focused than you know, making love to a woman or making love to a partner.
So, let me ask you this. As you being an artist that's already out there, in the R&B world, what could you tell a young male that's trying to get up there as an up-and-coming artist in the R&B world? What advice can you give them?
I would say that your gifts will make room for you. Like, you don't have to do anything that's beyond your character. I feel like if you stay persistent and continue and just never give up, something's going to happen. You know, it's like the universe has to respond. If you're constantly looking for a job, you're going to get that job after a while. I would say to respect yourself, because everything you do in life will come to light. So respect yourself and just be true to yourself. Be true to your artistry and be yourself. Don't try to be somebody that you're not, because people will see, you know, people will see if it's you or not. So just be persistent. That's what I would say.
Now, you in the R&B, which is totally different from hip-hop. What makes Heather Walker different from anybody else out there now?
Excuse me, say that again.
What makes Heather Walker different from any other artist, R&B artist that's out there now?
I would say I have my own sound. I would say what makes me different, I'm not singing for money. I'm not singing for fame. I'm doing this because I feel like God has placed me on this planet to sing. God has placed me on this planet to entertain people. And, I mean, that's what makes me different. It's just, it's my calling. It's like I could say, okay, I'm not going to sing anymore, and it's always something that's pulling me back to the piano, pulling me back to the mic. You know, it's like something you can't get away from. It's my soulmate.
Okay. Well, I want to get into another one of your singles. You're the One?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about that single.
That song was actually written in the studio with my co-star, Keith Allen. He came up with the idea of the song, and just, I guess he wanted me to be a part of his life at the time. We're no longer together. And he just sang and had a good time. You know, he was feeling that, you know, we felt like we were it for each other, you know, so... We came up with that song.
Okay. I want you to introduce it. I want you to introduce that next song.
Okay. This next song is called You're the One. Vocals by Heather Walker and Keith Allen. Listen up and give an ear.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio.
You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment, with your host, Rich Money. Rich Money. Rich Money. Rich Money. Rich Money. Rich Money.
Friday night is when I come to Rich Money.
Repeat that again.
Was there like vocal lessons involved with your singing? Because you hitting those high notes on point and everything, or was it something that came naturally to you?
Well, actually, I had been singing alto for the longest until I had gotten out of high school and I started going out on tour. When I started going out on tour, it's like the other singers would push me and they would tell me that, you know, you can sing higher, you know, you have a powerful range. And they started calling me Little Patty. That's when I was traveling with the Harlem Gospel Choir. So, you know, it took time to actually, you know, develop. But, you know, it's just like anything in life, you have to get to know yourself, just like I had to get to know my vocals.
Now, I know a lot of singers have writer's block. Have you ever came across the writer's block situation? And if it did, how did you overcome it?
No, I never came across anything like that. I came across a situation where he had went to Poland to sing, and I never drank in my life, and I took a shot of vodka, and it kind of stripped my voice. And I was unable to perform, but, you know, the other singers helped me out with honey and lemon and warm water. And after maybe about a couple of shows, I had gotten my voice back. So that's the closest I came to that.
Okay. Now, some artists experience stage fright. So they throw on the dark glasses so the audience can't see their eyes, so they could close their eyes. This way they don't got to focus on the audience. Have you ever experienced any stage fright?
I wouldn't say stage fright. I would say just being nervous. I would be, you know, a little nervous before a show, but I'm kind of used to being around large crowds of people because my father is a bishop. So it's like a natural to be out in front of a crowd. You know, you always get a little jittery, but not to the point where, you know, I have to wear shades. What I do is I just picture everybody in the audience naked.
Okay. That's something to visualize.
Yeah, so that makes me, that helps me, you know, come into myself on stage if I get a little nervous.
Wow. So, as you being an up-and-coming, well, you're not even an up-and-coming artist. You're the artist on all. What makes music you have now? Yes, you are. You're very talented. You're out there. You're doing your thing. You're traveling. You've been with some of the greatest entertainers that's out, that was out, that is out. You understand? So,
thank
you're,
you.
You're not an up-and-coming artist. So I'm not even going to consider you an up-and-coming artist. You understand? So
right.
My thing is, how do you feel about, okay, let's say you have somebody at the up-and-coming artist, and you feel that they vocals ain't up to par with what you're doing. How do you explain that to them?
Say that again.
Okay, you're doing a collaboration with somebody. And you know they ask you, and considering the person you are, you agree to do the collabo with them. You understand? But as you hear them sing, you realize their vocals is not on your level. How do you manage to put yourself in a situation to explain that to them?
I've been through that before, but I'll allow the person to fix the mistakes themselves. I'll just keep my comments basically to myself. I might try to hum or, you know, sing a part for them, but I don't want to come off, you know, snobby or like I know it all. So I think it's more of the producer's job to fix, you know, to fix that situation. I try to, unless I'm real close to the person, you know, like if I'm really close to the person, then I'll say something. But if I don't know you and we're doing something together, I'm not going to come off like that because it'll seem like, oh, you know, she's a bitch. And I think that anybody that I'm dealing with, they know their craft, you know. So I've never, you know, been faced with a situation where a singer wasn't coming to the table. It was a situation where a writer was having an issue. Like the song was running on and it didn't have, you know, the verse, chorus, you know how a song is structured. But we as singers, we were just there like, okay, how can we tell this person? Because this person is actually paying us. So it has happened, you know?
Now, okay, so let me ask you this. What makes the music you have out now different from the music you did in the past?
Right now, I think it's more of me making changes vocally, like making different decisions vocally, versus in the past, I was just more out just saying, flat out saying. And now I'm kind of like pulling back a bit because I want to get on the radio more. You know, I want more like major exposure. I want to come out from being underground, you know, so with certain things that I have to do in the studio vocally to get them to accept, okay, this is radio savvy, you know. So I'm kind of conscious with that when I'm recording. That's the difference now.
Okay. Now, in your experience as an artist, which one would you say is more appropriate in your field, major or independent?
I feel like you make more money independently because when I go to a show and I'm selling CDs and T-shirts, I'm leaving with that money. That's going in my pocket. You know, if I go overseas and I do a concert and I'm performing to 10,000 people and let's say 3,000 people bought a CD, they bought T-shirts or teddy bear, poster, whatever, that goes back into Heather Walker's Entertainment. Versus being on a major label, when you're on a major label, it's like you're borrowing money from them and now you owe them. So it's like you're taking out a loan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference.
Oh, okay. Now, how would you describe your lyrics? Would you describe it more reality or more fiction, or like in between?
I think everything that I write about is reality. I don't think there's no songs I've ever done that's fictional. Everything I write about or I sing about is real. It's real life, you know?
Okay. So I want to get into one more of your singles. I love this song. I play this song over and over and over. Love Caution. Tell us about that thing.
That song, I was having issues in love, and you know, I kind of it's around the same time when my ex-husband left me, so I was still boo-hooing. You know, after being married to him for 10 years and him, you know, walking out on me with the 3 children, I was still boo-hooing. You know, it took me a while to come back from that hurt. So this song right here, I'm singing that, when I say love caught me, I'm saying God caught me. You know, instead of me, like, putting trust in another relationship, I had to let God heal, you know, my broken heart so that I could move on. That's what I mean when I say love caught me.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to get into that right now. All right, Don DeDivas, get some more flames from the sensational Heather Walker. Love caught me right here on GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment.
I gave you all of me. My heart, my soul, my everything. Sure, this was forever. Look at us today.
Such a beautiful voice.
Hello, Heather, you there? Hello, Heather.
Yes, hello,
there?
Hello, I'm here. Oh. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So let me ask you, what's the next step for Heather Walker?
Right now I'm putting together a tour to go to India. They've been asking me to come out and sing in India. I'm trying to work that out, put that together. So I'm focused on that, focused on working on some new material, back and forth in the studio, working on new material at this time. And, you know, been auditioning for a couple of movies and some other things out in L.A.
Okay. Now, do you have any videos out or anything?
Yes, I have quite a few videos on YouTube. You can put in Heather Walker, I Gave You My Heart. You'll see the video there, Heather Walker Freedom. You'll see the video there, Heather Walker Spread Love.
Okay. What I want you to do, I want you to give everybody information. Let them know where they can hit those videos and songs and where you're performing at and everything. Fill them in on all the information and also give you a shout out if you have any shout outs.
Oh, okay. On September 4th, I'll be at the Milk River in Brooklyn, New York. That's for all my Brooklyn, New York people. I'll be there. I'll also be at Murphy's Bar. Next month, I have a couple of dates there. You can find me on Facebook. Just put in Heather Walker. If you need the email address, it's heatherwalker7874@yahoo.com. For any booking information, you can reach out to my manager, John, at 646-725-3014. We just got a whole lot of stuff coming up. We got a whole lot coming up. And I'm excited about what's going to happen this year. Also, I'll be in the Bahamas September 6th through the 8th, performing there at Sandals Resort. You can hit me up on Facebook if you're interested to go. We're going to really have an awesome year. This is going to be a dynamite year.
Okay. Now, what I want to inform you is, you know, we also have a magazine. We're going to put you in a magazine as well, GQ College Magazine. But what I also do is I also put together all the artist tracks as a promotional CD, and we put them out through the tri-state area. Do you have a problem with us using any of your tracks, or do you just ask all the artists that?
I don't have any problem. Any promotion is great.
Okay. You know, that's what I asked everybody that came on, voices, all of them. You know, they're putting exclusives and stuff in as well. You know, so I want to make sure. I don't want nobody saying, oh, Rich, well, we didn't say you could use that. So,
right.
You know, so that's mainly, you know, the main thing. But if you have any shout-outs you want to give out?
I just like to give a shout-out to my beautiful children, Jasmine, Shantique, and Dante. Also would love to give a shout-out to all my fans and all my listening audience that have been with me throughout the years and carried me up until this time. And, of course, all glory goes out to God because he's the ultimate. So I have to give him a shout-out. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here right now.
Mm-hmm. Right about that. Well, you know what? I want to thank you.
I also want to give a shout out to VH1 and Cypher Jam everything that they did for me this year.
I knew it was something. That's why we gotta wait a minute, because I knew I was leaving out something. Your reality show. Tell us about this reality show. I knew it was something. I kept saying it's something I'm not bringing up here, because I don't have you on bringing it. I don't have the volume or anything, so I'm like, bring it. And I got so caught up into your music, I forgot about the reality show. So tell us about this reality show.
Well, we actually taped the show last year. The show was called I'm Married to and in the show, my ex-fiancé is a sex addict, and I'm the gospel artist. So VH1 followed us around for about 2 weeks, you know, to the studio, to different places where we live, just to capture, you know, what's going on in my household and how do I survive and live with a sex addict being a gospel artist. So one of the songs you played, You're the One, was actually a part of that show. And it was just, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of laughing, a lot of fun. We had a lot of arguments off camera and on camera, but they actually made it like it was a love story. And I was actually shocked when the final cut came out. So those of you that didn't see it, you can catch it on demand. It's episode 9, I'm Married to Us.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, how big of a difference is that from you singing and you doing this reality show?
Wait, repeat that?
How big of a difference is that besides the fact of you singing about, you know, you said your reality song and considering the fact you're doing a reality show?
It kind of like, it felt like I was kind of like doing a play, basically, like a play with the camera there. Even though it was real life, there were some things that they were giving us, you know, to try to help make the show a little bit more funny. So it was like doing like a live play almost. As far as intertwining the music, they just picked music that we had already recorded and said, hey, that's it. So...
Okay. Now, do you feel acting is something that you would want to get into on a big TV screen and just take it further, or do you feel like singing is something that you're just going to stick with, not even go to
By nature, I'm a singer, you know, but acting is also a love of mine. Also, I have done a lot of movie work, you know, like on my time off from touring, I'm in Blue Bloods, You See Me. I was a featured guest in Blue Bloods and some other stuff I was extra in, you know. Sometimes we got to walk before we crawl, you know. So, yeah, I love acting.
Okay.
I love it.
Well, we definitely going to look at that episode 9. I'm definitely going to
And you're going to laugh. You're going to laugh and you're going to have a great time. You're going to laugh.
I'm definitely going to look it up. I was like, oh, man. And I kept saying to myself, well, I got to definitely ask about that reality. As soon as the show started, I said, yeah, we're going to ask them about this reality show. Because, you know, that's one of the biggest things that's out now.
Right.
You know, reality shows are taking over the TV screen.
That's true, because people want to see what's real.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Ms. Walker, you are welcome back anytime. It's never a problem. If you have any exclusives you would like to send in, please feel free to send them in so we can play them. You know, we have 8 different episodes. I hope we get to hear you on Sunday because it's a totally different audience on Sunday. My line is flooded, so they don't usually press 1 anyway. But on Sundays, you know, that's a Crossroad Temple with Brother Timmy Scribby Hunter from the legendary group Atlantic Star, you know, and hopefully we'll get to hear you on that. I'm letting the listeners know now, you know, if you have time, the link will be up if you choose to go on that as well.
Okay, well, you can just send me the information. I definitely would love to talk with you guys on Sunday and be a part of that.
Well, you know, it's a different host, it's a different everything. Except for the number and the length. Everything else is different. But I want to thank you once again. It's definitely an honor having you on. And you are welcome back anytime. It's never a problem.
Okay. Thank you so much. And God bless you now. We'll talk later.
All right.
Bye.
All right. The sensational Heather Walker, Dons and Divas. All right, that's it for tonight's show. I am going out. It seems like I didn't do this in so long. My body just can't take it no more. But that's it for tonight's show. I want to thank all my guests, the callers. Next time, press 1. We see all the block numbers. Next time, press 1 to go on the air to speak. If not, you can continue to sit back and listen to the show. But once again, all the callers, all the listeners, I want to thank my guests for coming on. Larry Locke Henderson, comedian Ray Ray from around the way, and a sensational Heather Walker. Also, don't forget, GQ Palace has 8 different episodes, 11 different hosts on Sundays from 7 to 9, Spiritual Sunday with Miss Lavina for Life. Then right after her, from 9 to 10, we have Crossroads Temple with Brother Timothy Scribney Hunter. On Mondays, we have UAR, Unsigned Artist Radio, from 8 to 10. And then from there, we have Ms. Deanne Lane, who will soon be back. We're waiting to see what's going on with her. She also has a reality show she's working on called Stilettos. That'll be from 10 to 11. Then on Tuesdays, we have GPS, GQ Palace Sports with the Mayor, from 8 to 10. I mean, on Tuesdays. And then on Wednesdays, we have Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad from 8 to 10 as well. And then on Thursdays, we have Reality and Relationship with KL and Tiffany Belvin from 8 to 10. And then on Fridays, you're right back here with Rich Money from 6 to 9. I am your host for the night, Rich Money. Y'all have a safe and blessed weekend. Ah, it's over, y'all. We out. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Come here, come here, Chris. Come here. Come here. Hey. Hey.
Oh, mate. Oh, mate. Oh, mate. We put this thing together.
Rich, 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 rich.
You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment, with your host, Rich Money. Rich Money. Rich Money. GQ Palace. GQ Palace. GQ
Palace. That's a brand name. Like Pepsi, that's a brand name. I stand behind it. I guarantee it. They know that, even if they don't know me anymore than they know the chairman of General Mills.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio.
Hey, this is DJ Kevsky, and you're listening to GQ Palace, hosted by my man, Rich Money.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace.
This is Elias, and you're listening to Rich Money on GQ Palace Radio. Follow me. Follow me, yeah. Follow me. Peace, peace, peace.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio.
Hi, this is Deja Vu, and you're listening to GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment with Rich Money.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio.
What's up, y'all? This is MC Iniquity from Brooklyn, New York. Ain't no party like an old school party, cause an old school party, you're listening to the sounds of Rich Money, GQ Palace. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace.
Yo, what's good? This is Casanova Rudd from the group Super Lover C and Casanova Rudd. You know the golden era of hip hop, baby. You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio with my man Rich Money. Yeah, yeah.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio.
Yeah, 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 what's good, y'all? It's your boy, Mikey D, a.k.a. Playboy Mikey D, a.k.a. Mikey Destruction, formerly of Main Source in the L.A. Posse, currently with Elements of Hip-Hop. Y'all already know what it is. Right now, you're tuned in to GQ Palace. Keep it locked.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio.
Yeah, this is Grand Agent, GrandAgent.net. Real Grand Agent, Twitter and IG. I'm in the GQ Palace, so as far as I can tell, it's all good. Rich Money, let's do it, do it, do it, do it, do it.
I like to welcome all my to the world famous Murder Inc. show. They call me the Mighty Rule. How you living?
GQ Palace, Radio, GQ Palace, GQ Palace, Radio.
The real question. What do you do?
Yo, what up, what up? Peace, world. This your boy, Mellow Man Ace. And right now, you got a lot on GQ Palace Radio.
GQ Palace Radio.
gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back.
When they hollering about rules, here's the real. I pop the top like champagne bottles to chill or nothing but ice. Now I send it up to the greatest and tell them I'm nice too. Plus push some nice groups and ink roll like deuce, man. I'm OG Bobby J, and we slinging soccer fields, yeah. You respect that, or get your mind around and get it pushed back. Y'all don't want that. I send them to the morgue, I keep it my bouncing for sure. In the club with no gun, got them taking it off. Can't help that. I'm that that puts it down once I hit that. To them up in the mind, back to them home in the throwback. West, 44 Lakers, let's make no mistakes. When these F's take place, what's the procedure with a gun in your face?
GQ Power, Power Radio, GQ Power.
Hey, I'm coming back.
We gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back.
Let's take the ball.
We gon' clap back.
Friday night, spend my time listening to Rich Money, Governor's Chief, and GQ Power Radio.
GQ Power Radio, GQ Power Radio.
We gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back.
Boom, big in the club, boom up, pop in the bubbly. Get ugly, I hug the snuff closely. But usually, used to see you bouncing on the freak, trying to ride my, I can handle it, long as they manage to get they in front of my and dance a bit for more chance. I'm catching hate from a glance, but I'm a giant. This man ass, I'm stopping my witness. The backhand, it's not realistic. The game is heavy, it's not to the twisted. I'm young, black, and gifted, but still at the bottom. It's stuck somewhere between Gomorrah and Sodom. I'm here to make this rap hotter than Harlem. Dog beware, woo, cause I'm the problem. What's the procedure with a gun in your face? When you got one in your waist, just cop back. Hey, I'll come back,
we gon' clap back, back, gon' clap back, back, gon' clap back, back, gon' clap back, back, gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, back, gon' clap back, back, gon' clap back, back, gon' clap back, back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back,
taking the one, like Bush is dumb. I'ma find out where M lies, is hotter than bomb first. It could be much worse, I could be hotter than your scrubs. Mask and gloves, gun hot to burn it. I'd rather be bossed up with a bunch of bras. The priest is always screaming out,
radio.
I may have struck the chord with the Christians, but y'all got the freakiest that are all the religions. And God sent me this blessing to handle my business on these white snitches. Let the Nina blow kisses. If she somehow misses, he gon' meet the mistress. And clap that boy like Birdman and Clips. My dick, like I'm the star of these shows. I must be as hot as they come. What's the procedure with the gun in your face?
Cheeky you Power, Power Radio.
Come on,
clap back. We gon' clap back. We gon' clap back. We gon' clap back.
Hey, hey, it's Kim. On Friday nights, I spend my time listening to Rich Money, Love & Entertainment on GQ Palace Radio. It's Butter Bay, Butter Bay, Butter
Bay. We gon' clap back, back, gon' clap back. We gon' clap back, back.
GQ Palace Radio, Radio, Radio. GQ
Palace Radio, Radio. What's up, baby? Break it down, break it down. Break it down in the house.
GQ Palace Radio, Radio, GQ Palace Radio.